for instance, sending me down yonder to Pensacola. And after that, he has sent me down there, then feeling sure that out of all of our people, here would come Dale and Frank, though nobody was told, you know, in that sense. And sure enough, here they come down there. When I pull up, here they are, you know, down there at the meeting. My mind went back then, of course, to the Santa Rosa Vision. And I thought, now the precision of it is so wonderful. Here they're publishing the article in the paper right here at this time. Out of all of the many months, it's been I don't know how many months, you know, since that we was down in Central America and had the vision. But here at the very time that God is going to fulfill the vision at Pensacola, in the meeting part where I was with the brethren in the vision by the body of water, and it was Brother Branham's following, and they didn't esteem me at all, you know. And the very time that they're going to fulfill the vision, and then the vision having to do with Sharon Dale, my daughter, like that, and that very time that they're publishing in the paper, then here comes the meeting, and everything just falling right, just beautifully into order, you know. And then the thing that was so moving about it was, at the time that David Paul come in like he did, took those keys like he did, went down there and took the brethren, cleaned out all of that, you know, those rooms, those outer rooms out there, as we say in the outer courts, all around through there, everywhere, took all of those things that's been thrown back, and many of them's rusted, corroded, no good, gathering them all together and throwing them over yonder to the pit. And strange thing about it was, out of all of it that went over there, in behind it went the Eden sign. That's right. And of the serpent and making the bed of the gods, you know, and in it went. So I thought, now, all those things coming out, part of them being restored, like the butler, part of them to be burned, you know, or going to the pit, like the baker being hung and so forth, you know. And then at the very time that the vision goes up concerning the TV closed circuit here on the campground, the very time that the brethren got it up, all running, you know, right together with what happened down there, the very time they got it up, we're ready now for one thing, and that is the cable being up, the big cable, the power line, and then them having the receptacles or the TV monitors in their house. All that they like is the messenger between the line and the TV. And they were going to put those up, see. And here we go down there. And a little doubt in my mind, but Monday that we'll get started, you know, which brings in the first day of the week, the resurrection. So here, the messenger coming in, right at the time we go down there. Well, see, the Santa Rosa vision having to do with Dale, in that when we ascended up into the mountains, there, you know, it was early in the morning, and the mist, the fog, and all being there, as I related it to the brethren down at Pensacola, pulled in this little Spanish town like, and you really couldn't call it a town because it's just a stop in the road, but high in the mountains, and some, you know, they'd laid brick, just scattered brick around, laid brick for a little old plaza, just pulling on like a highway, you know, little old pull off there. But anyway, it was in the morning, over in the morning, that the Lord spoke to me like I said that he would do when I told the brethren. You know, being disappointed in that I said he'd speak to me after I left Houston. Well, he did speak to me after I left Houston, but my lands, it was after I done got past Houston, past Texas, past Mexico, past Guatemala, and down in Honduras. But he did speak to me over that morning, and he told me the very thing that I understood he's, you know, that he said he would talk to me about. The strange part was Guatemala, where the earthquake took place, and then the big chasm. Thousands and thousands of little homes made out of old pieces of wood that, you know, that they'd hauled in there to restore those homes, just on the little hillsides everywhere in that deep ravine and down through there. And I thought about that great gulf crossing over. Well, right there is where Dale and them got lost off. And then when I pulled up into the mountains of Honduras, way up in the mountains, I thought, now, Dale and them will come right back to this place. They'll pull in here tonight. And they'd been lost off a long, long time. Wasn't really no way for them to find us. But on that very day, that very night, they pulled in there. And then I had the vision. Well, we made the trip all the way from there down to San Pedro Sula, being having to do with Peter and the Keys, the heart of the earth. Went down there, coming back, went through all that windswept area, you know, where the tables flew out, and I spoke about the tablets of stone being broken. The tables went out. And then coming back, when we got right to the very spot, Santa Rosa, the very spot where Dale and him met us, after traveling all of many miles coming back, they left us again. And then, of course, that's when the Lord spoke to me, you know, and I related it about Brother Branham's daughter Sharon and what it had to do with Sharon. And then we spoke about Brother Sam Fife crashing in that area and was the leader of those Sons of the Prophets, remember? But the thing was, coming on back, I watched the things that fulfilled. Going down there, we went around by a street called Brookshire, over a street called Government Street, and there was another one or two I can't remember just exactly now. But they all were just perfectly in line with the coach, way across Reuben the firstborn, you know, those things, how they group together. Then I went down there to find out that they don't have a Sunday morning service. They have a Saturday night, Sunday night, which again had to do with the resurrectional part being here, which is on the Sunday morning, you know, the Sabbath morning. And so I saw the thing going to seed down there in the night services and coming out in the light of the resurrection up here. And the fall of the two people I spoke about that had to do with the beast and with the red dragon, you remember. And the freedom of the people from them. Well, here we was, 12 of us down there at the meeting, and one trying to make me look like the villain. In essence, finally a brother that I'd found favor with outside come inside, took his place, and he unawares, not realizing it, having to go get his cup of coffee, getting upset and all, trying to brand me as the villain, he had backed his chair off to go get his cup of coffee. And as God would have it, just like they cast lots over there, before he could get back with his coffee, this other brother come in and slipped his chair into his place. So when he got back, he didn't have no place around the table. He's left over there by himself. At any rate, there was I saw the apostolic foundation of the whole thing, you know. I saw it as God began to turn the wheels on it. Well, Brother Gloss and Brother Quick having to do with coming over to Ensign, we'd had the vision about Ensign, the widows, and setting the tent there. The vision about the feathers, and you remember how the vision about the feathers went. Well, here come Brother Bonnie, Brother Quick, glossing like glorification polished, Quick, in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Well, here they come over there. We went over to Thomaston, like Upson County. We spoke a bit rapture, caught away. Got over there, and sure enough, here come that wind. Caught it up and didn't leave anything but Brother John and the little eagle out there that he was staying in. Caught the tent up in that we didn't stake it down that night and hung it on a tree. And then we got the write-up in the paper and all. There they hung it on the tree. And then after that, we set the little teepee up in the form of the wind. The tent that we had was the tent we'd got from Brother Walden that had been set up in Atlanta, the four-pole tent, the big 60 by 180, was it? That tent, having been gotten from Brother Walden, was the same one we preached under over in Canada. Same one that the poles come from that's in the tabernacle. When that went out, coming out of the wilderness and bringing the poles into the glorification in the temple, which had to do with what Brother Parnell said about the Ark of the Covenant coming into the temple. But the strange part about it was Brother Glosson, Brother Quick, there, you know, after they come and got us, if you recall, they didn't stand by us over there in that meeting. They withdrew. And I thought about what I quoted to the brethren down there in the meeting, how that... Yeah, when it comes to Thomason. And see, in this meeting, I quoted to them how that when certain ones came from James, you know, how that Peter withdrew, fearing those of the circumcision, and wouldn't have no fellowship. I brought it out because I thought about the way they done me. And I brought it out down there. See, because I knew the Lord would give us the revelation. And I knew they was with Brother Branham's group, you know. And sure enough, they just they pulled away and left me down there. So, and that's come on. It was like a death, you know, being forsaken, like a death. Well, it went through the whole thing, through the whole cycle, going through the whole cycle. That tent having to do with the death, and Brother Walden, those stones, he passed, and going over the Jordan, then going up here to that last meeting of Marysville, and going up to Brother Walden's by Cleveland, coming around by the Mount of Olivet. Well, as you know, we use the terms, the Jews have their Passover. The Passover lamb, Egypt, the 12 o'clock Passover, that is the month of Abib, the beginning of their months. Then the second feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they wander through the wilderness. And then the third feast coming up, first, second, and third, they have the Feast of the First Fruits, which means they go out of the wilderness into Canaan land, and they get their barley harvest. Well, it was customary with the Jews that when they got the barley, they'd wave it in a cluster. Whereas coming out of the barley harvest, it was the same thing that Ruth did. Ruth being down in the land of Moab, down there, when Naomi had lost her loved ones. Ruth clave to her, come out of there, went back to her own home in the land of her kindred. When she went back, she got back in the time of barley harvest, which had to do with the resurrection of the loss of Naomi. Well, if you remember, down in that area was where Moses supposedly was buried, and the land of Ammon and Moab was taken from the names of the two daughters, you remember, that was with their father over there, Lot, at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was where the cities of refuge was, which had to do with the fleeing of the church in the middle of the week. The Jews, that is the woman after the child is born and feet on the moon, going into that wilderness or the valley of Petra, going to the land of Ammon, or where they supposed the Ark of the Covenant was lost, where Elijah's cave was, or where Moses was supposedly buried, you know. But anyway, 1, 2, 3 of the feast, and then from that third day, then there is 50 days, including the beginning of the first fruits to Pentecost, which means they celebrate the first of the first fruits, which is the first day of the 50, and the last, which is Pentecost, first fruits and Pentecost. And it's referred to as the Feast of Weeks because it's the end gathering from the first fruits of the barley harvest to the wheat harvest, which is Pentecost. So then when the first fruits come up, it is the resurrection of Jesus. So then the first fruits of them that sleep is the barley harvest, the resurrection of Jesus. So the Passover, the death of Jesus, the unleavened, the wandering through the wilderness of his 40-day fast and going down into the heart of the earth that showed the life of Joseph. And then the third feast, the resurrection coming over the Jordan, which is the grave or death, which was Jesus' resurrection, waving the first fruit. Not in measure like the wheat harvest of Pentecost, but all one clump, all of it in one, Jesus. And then seen of the brethren 40 days, which to me shows the second covenant, the 40 days of the Christ, whereas the wilderness was the 40 days of the Moses. Both covenants on the mount, 80 days, one broken, one received. Because at the end of the last 40, which had to do with the Christ, the resurrected one, he ascended into heaven and was received. Whereas at the end of the first one, he was rejected and the covenant was broken. In Jesus, the law is folded up and laid away, the Father being upset because of the broken law. Jesus paying the price, that is to say, prophet like unto Moses, and Moses being smitten to type it before Joshua the Christ went to Canaan. But anyway, ascending from the Mount of Olivet, right there at that particular thing of the discourse of the Mount of Olivet, 10 days from that time over to Pentecost. The 10 days there, bringing in the Pentecost, which is the wheat harvest where the leaven is mixed. Of course, the leaven being mixed brings in the wave loaves, means the Gentiles mixing with the Jew. So then, the wave loaves, bringing in the 12 apostles, which is the foundation of the church, or, as we say, the candlestick age of the seven church ages. Because we leave the first court, we're going to the second court, which is on this side of Calvary. And when we do, we go into what we call the dark age, whereas the dark age is the veil that had to be rent of the Catholic indoctrination that stood between the New World, Columbus called the New World, which was the holies of holies, the real religious country, America, which typed out the holies of holies itself. Being a priesthood age, the second, the loaves of bread, the 12 little cakes that showed the apostles, the wave loaves, there was two stacks of them. And then the rent veil of the dark age and the spilling of the blood, which had to do with the death of Jesus and the martyrs. And then going on into the holies of holies. When Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olivet, from Pentecost, all through the church ages, over to the coming back of the Lord Jesus, was the wheat harvest, which is referred to as the times of the Gentiles. So then the times of the Gentiles reaching all the way over at the end of the church ages, then comes the revelation, which bringing the revelation in, brings in the Lord Jesus himself. And then at the end of the church ages, here when we come down to the end of the church ages, the revelation comes in, which means that from the first fruits, the 50 days, which is the weekdays, the 50 days bringing in the 7 weeks coming on over, 77 being 49, and the one included as the first fruits, the first and the last. So they're coming on over the Feast of Weeks, and it come on over to Pentecost, and then from Pentecost on over the church ages. So then from the church ages, that would be from Pentecost on over to the end of the candlesticks, which would be the 7 church age messengers. Of course, I was called into question on that. But anyway, over to the end of the Gentile age, for that is the times of the Gentiles. In other words, from Pentecost over to there would then signify from the end of the Jews' Feast of Weeks over to the seventh month. Any time from the end of the Feast of the Weeks would be, which would be Pentecost, would be the time of the Gentiles over to the seventh month. And then at the seventh month, on the first day, the two trumpets sounds. One trumpet to gather the children, the other trumpet for them to go into battle, which I believe had to do with Brother Branham, the revelation. So then, at the middle of the seventh month, then comes the Day of Atonement, the 10th day. Aaron always, on that time, went into the holies of holies to atone for the sins. So in the middle of the seventh month, would automatically bring Jesus back to the Mount of Olivet, where he would set his feet, it would cleave in halves, and then they'd see the nail prints, and it would be the blood atonement, a nation born in one day. Which means that with the cleaving of the mountain, the water would run forth from the throne, that is running out of this mountain, in that the elevation is like this, and the water would run down like this and run into the Dead Sea. Then when it goes into the Dead Sea, the waters will be healed, which would have to do with the Jews getting their peace. James Isaac, the promised son, tracts of faith when we was over in the Holy Land and falling into that water, and I said it'd be healed and it'd find life in it. And after that, it'd be great life in the Dead Sea. Well, that is, Israel will become the greatest thing. Whereas Israel, like waters, dead without Christ, she's worthless. But when she comes in, she'll be the apple of his eye, and she'll be the most beautiful thing, the head of the nations. She'll be admired. She'll be full of every good thing, you know. Whereas they consider nothing in it now. Like we said, of Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But anyway, with this, at the end of that month, on the 15th or the 22nd, then would be when they would have their palm branches, palm leaves, which would have to do with going into Canaan after they'd gotten in there, in commemoration of the waters in the wilderness and the palms of Elam, where the Lord gave them rest, which really would be their millennium. God worked in 6 days, rested on the seventh. It would be their millennium rest on the end of the seventh month, which would actually bring in the finished product of Israel, which would have to do with the peace of Israel right now, and Jimmy Carter having to do with JC, you know, as they played it up and bringing it into peace. Well, us going down yonder to Pensacola at this time has to do with the tent down there in Thomaston, going by the Mount of Olives, going up to Brother Walden's new tent, and that star falling like we saw in the cross in the middle of it, and has to do with this letter who we spoke of, Brother Terrell's minister being coming to an end with Atlanta. It had to do with the end of it. Whereas I didn't know this till the other day, but Brother Connor said, you know, Brother Terrell spoke a strange thing up yonder at that meeting in Atlanta. And I hadn't heard anything about it till then. And I said, well, what was that? He said, well, he said that the Lord was through with him and was, he just had one or two more things, and his minister was at a closing. He was going to take him out. And then Brother Leon wrote this letter here, and he was talking to Brother Terrell about Little Bethlehem and about us. He ran into him twice over there. He was telling him about the revelation, and said Brother Terrell told him that God was fixing to take him out. Was that what he said in there, David? Dave was reading it to me and said, yeah, fixing to take him out. And said, but he did make the statement, said that God was going to take him out. But said he did make a statement, said, but the revelation of Jesus Christ will rapture the church, if I got it right.
That's right.
If you brethren remember in the revelation, see, this has to do with Judah, Benjamin and Judah, which is the male side. Brother Terrell and those evangelists like Brother Allen, that has to do with the woman and the children, which is the 10 tribes, the lost tribes. Because the woman was in the transgression, which means lost, and not the man. So it wasn't Judah that was lost, which is the Christ part. It was the membership of the church. It was lost, the children. So when we liken America to Joseph, Israel to Benjamin, and the tribes overseas like the Catholic people to the 10 lost tribes, that is the others' nations, the 10 lost tribes. See, it makes you understand what we're talking about when we say that. Well, see, if that is true, then it would have been just right for Brother Leon, which shows the woman part that is in the wilderness, the woman part to come and get the tent where Rick had put on the end of the tent bad. See, we'd come and get the tent at this time, whereas it was numbered with the valley, down at the valley. And when we come through there, I told Betty, I said, now, this has to do with the valley. Has to do with the tent that we set in the valley that come from Brother Brown, that had to do with Brother Pete Cunningham, that had to do with the tent we traded for that tent we set in the valley, which tent had to do with those poles that was back in Barnesville, that had to do with that bill that I paid the other day, that debt, that Brother James Ellis, having his money, $150, paid it, having to do with Brother Branham's followers, and that the debt was theirs in the type, the symbol of what had taken place, and you remember the hole that's connected with it. But anyway, here, like we say, can those bones live again? And it was the poles of that tent that went to the tent of Brother Brown, which tent had been down in the mud, tore up, we took it, fixed it up, stitched it, sewed it up, and put it back to use, went into the valley that had to do with the carryover of it. Where's the thing that was so outstanding? Betty said when she spoke about Brother Floyd's wife down yonder, said she looked like Sharon, which is Tommy's wife, which goes again to Ezekiel, and can these bones live again? And connections with the tent, here we being down there like we was, and the different things that had happened between Nolan, Brother Green, they wasn't even there, because somebody said that they had about had it, you know, with each other. So they wasn't even at the meeting at all. But in that, Homer was at Bill's, which had to do with the Tabernacle of God. Then going to Junior's, which had to do with the sleep in the night. Brother Junior, the dreamer, Brother Branham through the night, ordaining Brother Junior in the night. Having to do with Brother JT's, wanting to set his tent on Brother Slaughter's place. Rejected, set it in another place. And we went there to the meeting, preached for him when the flood came in. Whereas the tent, as if we say, rose up and came and sat down on our property over here. Ending the wilderness in that part, and the Ark of the Covenant coming into the temple here. As they were the 30 pieces of silver, and the brother that sent it, the betrayal, and the many daughters. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I spoke of the harlot and the many daughters. And I spoke of a woman, what her name was, and so forth, and it happened like that. And it had to do with Brother Wilson as being on the virtuous side that would stand by it. Which I said that from the beginning. Though you know all the problems we've had, yet it remains the same. And taking the tent, see, going over with the tent, getting it on the very night that here we come through the valley, and I was telling Betty it had to do with the tent. And I couldn't understand why Leon hadn't come and got his tent. And then I found out that while I was telling her about it, yeah, he'd already come and got it. Apparently, because he come and got it Saturday, and that was on Saturday night I was talking to him. So, he took the tent, but not the chairs and the interior part. See, the old having been passed away, which has to do with the wilderness, the tent, him being a woodsman, like Brother Branham, and the woodsman's part, which goes back to the body and the spirit, which has to do with Jacob, and having to do with the hunting, having to do with Jacob, and the birthright, which means one goes out, one comes in. In other words, that is to say that one represents a wilderness, one represents that which is out of the wilderness. Like Brother Branham's following, it represented the wilderness. And he left them in the wilderness. And it had to do with the hunting, whereas Esau was a great hunter. Had to do with Moses in the wilderness and the serpent being lifted up, like the serpent seed. Whereas our people have to do with Jacob and the birthright. Whereas they sold their birthright for a morsel of bread, which had to do, as I said, with Billy Paul's side of it, like Hope, the mother being Baptist, not filled with the Spirit, but believing in the letter, folded up, laid away, still the move of God, but representing Jesus, the rejected side of it, in that no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. And then the Jacob side of it, being Joseph, the Pentecostal woman, filled with the Spirit, the translated ones, being received. And the voice said to Midian, I give you Elijah the prophet, which was sent to the widow. So then, her meal barrel never given out. And Joseph having to do with the move, which is this right here, this side of it, which is Jacob, the birthright, whereas we don't care that much about hunting. As a matter of fact, some of them get upset with me because we don't hunt. But even at this meeting down there, one thing that was outstanding was they was talking about going hunting. They'd just been hunting and they was talking about going hunting again. They really had everything going about going hunting. Whereas truthfully, that didn't interest me, you know, talking about all the hunting and that kind of thing. It just didn't interest me. But there it was, even though I had been a squirrel hunter and loved to hunt squirrels, I used to go hunting between supper time and time Betty would fix my lunch, my supper, you know, time of coming from work and supper time. If I got a chance, fishing too. But when the Lord saved me, you know, he changed me. But they were down there, and they were talking to one another, and I heard somebody say, you know, said, you're talking about going hunting, said, it didn't take it out of you either, did it, when the Lord saved you? Well, strange enough, it did. It took it out of me. And but they said it didn't take it out of them. Whereas I don't think Brother Branham meant that when Brother Branham said it didn't take it out of him. I think what Brother Branham meant was he said he loved the woods and loved to be out. And that God didn't take that out of me either. I still love the wonderful nature, the things of nature. But the hunting part, it did. It changed me. I didn't want to kill nothing. But what I'm saying is, brethren, that the tent from Brother JT coming over, Brother Junior Jackson being the dream, and then the shopping center going up out here in Spring Street being over here like it is over there. This shopping center coming over here, whereas it was in Kentucky, is the biggest one. The move of God being there, and now it coming over here to Athens, just over the bridge, as we say. Same thing. Well, coming here, and then the woman part, having to do with that which is now yielding to this, which has been under the tent in the wilderness, big meetings. The last thing Brother Brown spoke of was an attack on the White House, the last move. And y'all publishing that article, which we ourselves spoke of recently, you know, and Bill was showing me this in the book, where Brother Brown said it, last attack, you know, on the White House. And the article's going out in the books like it is, and then over there at the wilderness, they're coming out of the tent, Brother Leon getting the tent, going into a government, going into the little White House, and then being transferred over here, being the government, and coming to Atlanta, and the numbers of things of being the international city, and all these things being breaching over, all of them. It seemed like in every way, spiritually, physically, naturally, every way, it's breaching over to little Bethlehem, just constantly. Everything seems to make little Bethlehem the center and breach right over to it. Even the letter that Brother Delmer wrote, you know, he was real upset, and he said, I suppose you think that little Bethlehem is the church. Well, I really do. I mean, if I didn't, I'd be going someplace else, you know. And so he said if that was the church, he's coming over to let them judge him. But at any rate, the thing coming around like it did about the Golden Lincoln, the crown, you know, and Brother Leon at this time running into Brother Terrell, and Brother Terrell, the revelation, the vision we had, and now Brother Terrell tilted toward this in the conversation, and us making a statement that he came to us in a vision, you know, and sat down and at first in the vision he wouldn't even listen, didn't even have his mind in this direction. He just kept talking to somebody, and finally the more that I talked, the more he began to listen, and finally just turned around to where I was, and then left off with what he was doing and come over to where I was. And that's when he made a statement. He looked at me and said, Brother Pike, I don't know of anybody I got any more confidence in than I do you. And said, I'm almost convinced that you really have got the message, you know, for the church. And then the vision went away.
Well, don't they have to do with when Brother Terrell, when Brother Delmer came to this, Brother Terrell had just come in to
Memphis.
Yeah, into Memphis, okay. And then when Delmer turned and started out again, Brother Terrell switched over and came over to Leon and said that he was going out. Just at the same time the things we stole from Delmer to Leon.
Yeah, and Thanksgiving coming up, which is the landing of the pilgrims at the new earth, and then St. Augustine, see, concerning Columbus and them and the Fountain of Youth being discovered. Well, see, the fountain out here that we spoke of having to do with Salem, first before Jerusalem, you know, out here where we had the vision at Salem, and then they put this fountain in out here. The first thing they got was a fountain from Ponce de Leon Avenue. And then they put it up out here, and that went down to Jimmy's, which has to do with the church. He brought the water back. I mentioned that to Betty last night. It's good that you remember that, Bill, because he brought the water back. I said it had a significance. You remember when I spoke on it?
Yes, sir.
Well, Brother Brown, going down there right now, has to do with this one thing. Brother Glosson being there has to do with glorification and resurrection. Brother Homer Brown is married to Betty. Just before they saw corruption, he suffered not the worms to get into the bread, that is to see the corruption. He said he'd bring them forth. And you know how close Homer come if he didn't go all the way. And they're the ones that's picking it up, see, and they're starting this bodily move. See, Brother Brandon's followers, before they see corruption, they're almost, the worms are almost ready to work in the body. And we was opposing some of the worms while we was down yonder. And that's...
Showing the woman side of that, that was the fountain of youth, was like you spoke. If the church goes down there showing the body of Christ, going to the Mount of Olives and they're cleaving the fountain of youth or the fountain of life, coming out healing the dead waters, which was the woman side of it.
It has to do with two things, see. I said two things. It has to do with what you say there. But it has to do with the fact that my name is Leon, and Leon Wilson's name is Leon. Whereas the one that discovered that name was Leon. And when you turn Leon backwards, it's Noel. So all three names is Noel, Noel, Noel. See, it represents three different phases of it. Noel, discover, who discovered the fountain of youth? Noel. I mean, in reality, Jesus, you know. Apostle Leon discovered it as a type. The lion, which means lion of the tribe of Judah, Noel. So then it's in the phase where brother, like out there where the woman part is, Leon Wilson, you reverse it, it's Noel. So what I'm saying is the one, two, three, the whole thing, natural fountain, Noel. And then where Leon's at in that side of it, Noel. And that one, two, three, it's the same. Mm-hmm. So then, come on in, brethren. And with St. Augustine, with us going down to St. Augustine or having to do with St. Augustine, it's obvious that if Brother Branham's body's coming forth, that would agree with what I had said. I had made the statement. I said, now at this time, the Brother Branham followers would come in. Some of you I know must remember saying that. At this time, the Brother Branham followers would come in. Well, sure enough, see, here comes a thing. Glosson, glorification. Being the friend of Quick, a moment, twinkling of an eye. Before corruption, Brown, you know. Betty, having to do with the wife, the body, the church. Coming up from St. Augustine, as I said, we went down on the Gulf side. That's where it was. And now we bring it over to the Atlantic side. So the Gulf side is going down to the death, like was down about 3 days. Then the next thing, on the 8th, going down to, which sets it just right for us to come into the Christmas season up here for the birth of the child. And come on in, brother. It does. It does. Saints, that's right. That's true. The saints out of the grave. St. Augustine. And besides that, it also has to do with Brother Durrell, which is on the other side, and his folks been there. Rick, his wife, and baby. And
Rick is over there, too, right now.
Where? Clearwater is where Barnes is from. Tarp, and that's where the man attacked me. Well, that's
down there. The last time I was telling you, we took some pictures, and I was looking today at the pictures, you know, and the thing, and it's got two pictures, and one of them is, you know, because I'm it probably has to do, you know, with the soldiers in prison or something. I don't know, but anyhow, we got
it definitely does.
Got two pictures, and one. I got a picture of Bucky, and he's in the old jail behind the bars, and it's got another one myself.
Well, me and David was talking about that very thing. See, wasn't it me and you talking about the fort? See the fort, the prison, mm-hmm. the saints, the resurrection, mm-hmm. coming forth from down there because it is a fort. It's an old fort, an old prison. So it has to do with that very thing, the prisoners coming out. And of course, Bucky would definitely have had to do with it because you was a prisoner, Bucky.
In fact, the last time...
The law.
I can see, I don't know just exactly, but see, when we was in St. Augustine at that time, we came up and it was from there we came back and that's when we grew our beards then.
Uh-huh.
And the place that we stayed at in Waycross, you know, it was right across the street. There was something that happened. I don't forget just exactly what happened. You know where we stayed at in Waycross? I stayed in the same motel you
were in.
Yeah.
I remember.
You remember there?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, that happened.
The Lord had showed me that you'd shave your beard because I'd had a night vision or something. And I said something about you shaving the beard.
Well, see, I had done shaved then, before then.
But I had a vision before you shaved your beard.
Oh, David shaved it. David was.
Is that right?
That's when he was going to barber school or something.
You shaved the beard off.
Sure did. Isn't it something?
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't know you shaved Bucky's off. That's really something, Joseph, coming up out of the dungeon. Because you growed it after you come from the dungeon that day.
Yeah, then I didn't know that Bucky was doing it, and he didn't know that I was doing it. But as soon as we come back, neither one of us shaved anymore from the time we left. I guess from the time we left Waycross, from there on, I guess it was Waycross, we didn't shave anymore. And then...
Was that the Conquistador? How's that pronounced? How's that pronounced? Conquistador. Probably the inspiration of that spirit of those men got on you while you was down there.
Was it really something else?
St. Augustine's supposed to be the oldest continuing settlement in
that. That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Well, see, it's so beautiful in harmony with the landing of Plymouth Rock and all these things. The New World coming in and the changing over from Brother Branham. See, the Middle Age brings it to this message, which is the third pole, the New World.
Ripley's believing tonight is there, too.
Yeah, that was one thing that was outstanding when we was there, that connected with it, is faith. Mm-hmm. Do you believe it or not? I remember that part was really outstanding. See, the faith of the saints. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Going down to the heart of the earth, coming back, and then the first fruit of the resurrection has to do with the brethren here.
That's right.
And then the end gathering has to do with them out there.
That's true.
And then the 50 days between, and then comes Feast of Pentecost. But the end gathering, the brethren themselves, has resurrected with your resurrection. In the sense, you know, when Christ resurrected,
the first fruits of them that slept. Now we spoke to Betty about that coming up. See, the first fruits. Well, you're talking about from Calvary. Well, see, you're exactly right in what I understand. The first fruits of the saints. But it, as I said so many times, it's not counted the first resurrection as far as acknowledgement in scriptural writings. But it is acknowledged as the first resurrection because it is the first resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits of them that slept and all that came out with him. The Lord records it like that. But neither is it counted the first resurrection when Jesus comes back in the clouds and the saints of God get up. But that's the second part of the three parts that is to be interwoven as one part at Calvary, at the catching up of the saints, at Revelation 19. But it's not referred to as the first resurrection until the third part comes in, which is not going up. Anything that's going up, he don't count it with earthly records. But coming down, Revelation 19, then it's counted because they continue to see it. Going up, they just see it and it's gone. So they don't record it as a resurrection. But when they see that man alive and he continues to walk around, they count him as one that resurrected. So then like three bear record in heaven, not on the earth, because he went up. Three three bear record in the earth that they see water, blood, and spirit. But the other is in heaven. So it, the things that are really outstanding, they come out of my head. It'd have been something if they'd have looked that down there and they said, we don't. It says inspector number 8.
It comes from Richmond Brothers, too.
It did. Brother Jerry Lambert gave me that hat. And that's the first time I use it down there.
I know.
Sure as a word. Yeah, that's the first time I used it was down there.
For George, by Homer Brown.
Oh, he asked about you. He said, how's old Frank doing?
Anyway, what I was going to say is, you know how Paul withstood Peter?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was thinking of Homer, in a sense, like Peter, since he was from the church at Peter Street, you know?
Yeah.
At the Keys and all that. Isn't there something in relation to what I'm saying there concerning Homer?
He definitely had to do with Peter and Peter Street. And believe it or not, he not only had to do with it, but he and Brother Glosson is the major ones that have to do with this fellowship. See, Peter having the keys, it was them that, Peter... It was them that had the thing going of the Jewish side of it.
So what they don't realize is that you gave Brother Homer the keys, final over there in the days of Freddie Gray, wasn't that it? Right there at the time Freddie Gray had a great revival.
I remember when Homer said nobody couldn't feed his people. Because I remember some of them come to me and they said, Brother Pike said, you fed us. I said, Brother Homer said there wasn't nobody could feed his people.
There's another thing, Brother George. You remember, there's a little cartoon character known as Homer the Pigeon.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the dove message, And you remember you brought out a long time ago about gray, brown, and green.
Uh-huh.
And their perspectives, where they were in Revelation.
Brother Gray being over there. Yeah, it all goes back to Homer. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Betty about Homer last night and his name, Homer. I mean it. The keys principally at this time has to do with David Paul being brought in as chief of staff and having those keys to all the doors, moving all those things out down yonder. The doors to unlock them that are in prison, letting them go free. Unlocking all of it, bringing it all out. That is rejected, going to the pits, which means a very fearful thing, brethren, like I told Betty last night, I went through it more precisely with Betty than I am now because I had plenty of time to talk. The children done gone to bed and I was sitting up there in the front and she was sitting there where I could talk with her and everything was very quiet. But it's like I told her, the end of the world is here. The translation's here. The change is here. The resurrection of the dead is here. And even though when I talk to you, it appears to be like a lot of knowledge and a lot of things that excite us. Well, as it is exciting, the mind of God is tremendously exciting. But it's more than that. It is the almighty creative expression of God Himself in His Word act. See, bringing forth life and changing the human body. And that is why in church I feel so much resentment. As it begins to speak, it's the created voice of God saying, not you that speak, but your heavenly Father expressing Himself from within His own flesh and bone, within His temples, and let the world keep silent. And then Satan, people who are given to the carnal mind, Satan working within the flesh, no good thing. Their thoughts, envious, jealous, surmising, finding fault, cunning, and measuring themselves by themselves and among themselves, saying, well, Brother Pye, he's sharp, but I'll show him how sharp I am, what I've gotten. We'll go in here, we'll go in all this kind of thing. And I mean, it's a general problem, that's all. But anyway, it's enmity to God, because God Himself ain't in no wrestling match, other than the fact that we wrestle against powers and principalities When people do that, it's like children, because we're not looking to see who knows the most and what we're trying to find. What we're trying to do is express a revelational something that has taken place and is taking place, like we're telling a story, you know, like we're going back telling a story that of a life that has to be relived, brought out as to what we can expect, what is happening, and where we're going, what we're going to do. You know, and somebody breaking in like dot dash, and just, I mean, it's childish. Whereas there is some where brethren come together like we're talking here, and we're talking about it, and the mind of Christ is speaking, and brethren get something from God, or they get a revelation from God. And it is Christ speaking in them that is with you in your spirit and in harmony with your spirit and in oneness with you in your spirit in what they're doing. They're only bringing out what God has revealed to them and spoke to them out of the transition of God as he moves along and them moving in there as his body and image. It's not a carnal thing and not a foolish thing at all, not a, you know, a childish, silly thing where somebody's opposing you and wants you to know that he's got something just because you've got something. He wants you to know he's got something too, you know. I mean, that's a silly game. It's enmity with God. But anyway, in the meeting, I run into this a lot of times. Resentment. You run into resentment because the person feels inferior. And they feel like they ain't got it, and they resent the fact you have got it. You run into jealousy because they are envious of you, and they're jealous in that they feel that you get the attention and they don't. Whereas all that's carnal. And then you run into a contest of rebellion, you know, of measuring self by selves and trying to show off what they are and who they are in trying to prove to others that you make a fuss over him, well, you might as well turn and make a fuss over me. Look who I am. Look what I know. Well, I don't know no more than I do. You just ain't heard me yet, you know. And it's really silly. But, see, brethren, we're not to do that. God forbid, if I'm doing any such thing like that, I hope God will be merciful to my poor soul. Because what we're trying to do is like Paul said, the revelation was made known unto him, and he knew that he was ordained to stand before the Almighty God and give an account for his stewardship, and that God was doing something, and the entire soul and life and welfare of the church was at stake. And in that it was at stake, that God was trying to express himself. See, whereas we know in part, we get a revelation, that kind of thing. But there's a difference in God trying to express himself through us. When we as members of his body join ourselves together in one union and we yield ourselves to him that he might express himself through us as a body to the world, that the world might see him suddenly appearing within his temple to be glorified in his saints, and them being drawn to God within us, glorifying God within us, kneeling before us, glorifying God, God thus making them to know that he's loved us, and them glorifying God, praising us in a good work, thus glorifying God within us through that praise, knowing that it's not of us and that we give God the glory. Whereas Paul said, to glorify God within me. Like I said this morning, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against each other. Sure. If you got something, well, I'm glad you got something. I certainly ain't opposed to it. I'm not against it. I thank God that you got it. And if anything I can say to help you, well, I appreciate me being able to say it. And if anything you can say to help me, well, I appreciate you saying it also. And anything that we're doing is for Christ's sake. But one thing a while ago I was going to emphasize when we first started for the brethren come in was I said something to the brethren about Paul blaming Peter because of the forsaken. And I think I brought this out before some of the brethren came in. But I think Brother Barney Clausen, Brother Quick, how that they forsook me after they invited me to Thomaston, because certain ones come up from the Brother Branham following. And there I was with the revelation, as Paul, like Paul was, the Jewish part rejecting it, which was the Brother Branham following, and then it going out to the Gentiles, which was those that was considered a bunch of dogs by the Brother Branham following. But yet they did receive it, and he got himself a bride, which has to do with you brethren, when they thought that they was the bride. But actually, he's going back now to bring peace to them, to pick them up as the body, which shows the resurrection of the dead, in that you are the spiritual part of it. Though they think they're the spiritual part of it, they're really the word, the quote, the natural part of it, that is folded up and laid away as the Brother Branham following. And just before the worms get in, the Jews come out. So they come out. 2 days, 1,000 years with God, third day, the millennium. They come out before the body sees corruption. Calvary, 2,000 years, the millennium, the third day. There's 1,000 years. Jesus there 3 days. So then Brother Homer down there going down to St. Augustine, this and this has to do with before they see corruption, which goes back to what we said about Peter Street and the Jews and what I said to him about Paul blaming Peter to his face. And, of course, there sat Homer with the being the key man to the whole situation, him and Brother Glosson, and him wanting to make Brother Glosson the president of the whole thing. And that's when the German got up and walked out on him. Well, they were, a number of them, it was confederated against me before I ever got in. They were positively confederated against me. But at the end, there was only one that held to stand, and that was Brother Barnes. And he himself tried to break it down. You know how Judas come and kissed Jesus? Well, the man come over and put his arms around me and wanted to offer a kiss in that sense. But he lost his place at the table, like I said, and another brother come in and took it. And strange enough, the brother lived on Lemon Street. And he was a sign painter. I thought about the sinful generation, you know, seeking after a sign. Because he kept saying over and over, but Brother Branham was vindicated. And he said, are you vindicated? I said, yeah, the Lord's healed through me and he's blessed. He's done things. I said, miracles ain't got nothing to do with it. Or if miracles had something to do with it, if I didn't believe in healing. But when I believed in healing, I said God had done something through me. Miracles didn't have nothing to do with it. And he just, this way and that way. I said, yeah, it's got plenty to do with it, all right. I said, the Bible said these signs will fall in the league. And I thought about him being a sign painter and hollering for this, that, and the other. You know, and about that time, Red, he popped up back there. So when Red said, well, said, I guess I'm a little bit like the Jew. He said something about the signs, and Barney spoke up and said, I guess you must be like the Greeks. And they started about the Greeks seeking wisdom and the Jews seeking a sign and throwing con. They kind of got lost, and I told them it was like the Pharisees, you know. Pharisees and the scribes. Absolutely.
If you have the wrong attitude and take the wrong outlook when you go out there or the bread or whatever, then they're the ones that's going to be cut off and sifted out and and is cast away as those that are no good.
It was amazing. It was so perfect in what you're saying. Brother Red was sitting at one end of the table and the German. I'm sure you'll understand what I'm saying. Brother Pates was on this side that had lost his wife for coming to Pentecost, had been Baptist. In the middle here was a German. It was better. Over here was Brother Red. On the three corners up here at the end sat David, who was the man that had the meeting. David Floyd, thank you. On this side sat me. On the other side sat Homer. Red and Brother Pates across from each other, and the German in the middle. Me and Homer across from each other, and David in the middle. And what you said was so perfect. That see, there sat the knowledge of it down at that end. That got up and walked out on him and said it was a so-called message. Here is David up here that took sides with me, like the son of David, standing like the dead, standing with us. And everything, like David, my son here, been in charge up here, had gone through all this stuff, taking out the old, throwing away, bringing back that could be spared. Whereas when God rejected the Jews, so to speak, he rejected all, it all went away. You know what happened to Nolan, Brother Branham, all of them, you know, the following. Well, here he goes to pick them up, restoring some of them, and like you said, rejecting some of them. Some of them see being restored, some of them being rejected. The very same thing spiritually was taking place. That's exactly right. In Nehemiah's case, they wasn't on the roll.
That's right.
They wasn't on the roll.
Well, didn't you have the vision about those feathers while you was in Forsyth?
In Forsyth. And see, I told Betty, I said, well, we're going to Florida. I said, the Lord must be going to speak to me, because you know when the angel appeared to me and put the ring on my finger, and I saw Brother Branham's death, and I saw that changeover. Mm-hmm. Was in Hialeah. When I saw the death of Brother Branham, and then we went right across the line to Miami. And then the angel came in and put the ring on my finger. And then the darkness went away and the light came. Well, there was. I said, I guess he'll speak to me. And sure enough, see, right there in the middle of all of that here, it went. And the Lord began to talk. It was astounding, because on the way down I had a night vision about, or that night that I stayed down there. Along about there I had a vision about Ms. Gray, a death, and how she was freed. And you know, I had that vision a few nights ago where this four or five died, and they were elderly people. One and had to do with some of our relatives, our friends, our brother in here, and their mothers, daddies, whatever else. And I saw that Ms. Grace standing by that casket, and then I saw her. She was more of a younger woman and had come over to this and had on a long dress and was up there like she was leading, singing, really taking part, so happy, you know, she was free. And, of course, Betty's people follow her, the pattern of death, the Jews, and her dad being Lincoln and all this kind of thing. And it was really, really something. A number of the things, you know, that we had talked about. It could be, but the things that we talked about concerning Brother Gloss and them forsaking us, and me and Brother Taylor had discussed that about Homer and the pigeon and different things, and which also has to do with the messenger, you know. Y'all help yourself, brethren. There's plenty of them.
You know what really made Brother Quick, you know, that time to forsake you, Brother Thomason?
Uh-huh.
I watched him. Was when you brought out Brother Branham, you were wrong in some cases. And you said that Peter, that Paul made Peter with his face. And that's when he got upset, because he said Brother Branham was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then he handed that, you know, that offer you gave him. Just trying to help him.
So then where's this? When was this?
Thomaston, you know, when that tent was blowed out.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about, what's his name?
Brother Quick and Brother Glover.
Was it Quick?
Yes. Yes,
sir. Yeah, I remember Charles. You know, because one of them that was involved in that come against us went right on, and he or the little boy got his arm just ruined almost, a leg or something, on a bike, and he come back apologizing. And Quick went right on after he did it. He went right on, got mixed up with a woman, you know. Yes. Left his wife. And Brother Barney, he just went right on through the problems he was having with his wife, come back around for the Lord to pick him up down yonder to run the pattern with him. Well, I gave him the wooden chairs here a while back.
I thought about that. You saying yeah. There was wood like that, and then there's other chairs being called Samsonite?
Yeah, you got it right. That's right. See, that's the revelation of the Lord speaking to you about those things. That's the mind of Christ telling you those things. And it's so beautiful. You know, it's so beautiful. It's like a woman with a house. When she gets that house built, she wants to put a new piece of furniture in or hang a picture on the wall or bring in a telephone or whatever, and she gets it in the right place. But you know, if you're just some wild woman and she just wants to hang pictures everywhere, and whether they make sense or not, you know, like somebody trying to put a puzzle together, and they got a, you know, they pin the dog's tail on the nose and the nose on his foot, and but it is a beautiful thing, brethren. It is so beautiful. And these things that we're speaking of, just a few fragments of the great mighty revelation and mind of God that all this happening is, we brought in quite a number of things before the brethren come in about the vision, the messenger, the TV, and all those things, you know. It was strange thing about it, I had on my Western boots. I wasn't even going to wear these. But, see, Jim having to do with the church had given to me. And having to do with Brother Branham, I know I was supposed to wear them. So they really look rugged. So I throwed some polish on them. And it looked worse than it did before I put the polish on them, because it looked wet looking there. But anyway, I went on in with them. And the man that come against me, strange part about when we broke for dinner and in the afternoon, that's what really showed the revelation. Before lunch, the Brother Branham followers had the meeting. And they had me going, you know, this, that, and the other. And then about noon, 12 o'clock, then we changed over. That's right. And then I took the meeting for the evening.
He had a vision of what it was he was preaching. And he watched the people get hungry and they began to leave. And he told them, he says, but something made him enough. He said, we're going to have a final climax. And he said, all of them will be back for it. For the meeting. And I was thinking about what you were saying there about the Brother Madam followers had the first part of the service.
That is true.
And then when they left for dinner, then when they come back, he said, we're going to have a dinner. He said, they'll be back. He said, I know they'd be back.
All of them came back.
He said, for the final climax. And he spoke about that having to do with third pull.
That's what I was referring to. And see, the strange part about it was after dinner, when Brother Barnes lost his place, that's when the man that came in and took his place, and the man that took his place was, I remember him saying this, said, hey, y'all both got on cowboy boots. Because the man that took his place came back in, and me and him had become friends outside. And strange enough, he had on boots too, you know. But it, like you said, it had to do with the, as we say, the second part of it, you know, the first and the second part, which was really the third part of it. Because they had a part before I got there. And then I got in on the second part. And got chewed up, and then on the third part, I got resurrected.
That was something, Brother Joseph, going out there to Pensacola, and you talking about the Santa Rosa meeting over in Honduras. that there's a place right there.
Uh-huh.
You get to, it's called Santa Rosa.
Is that right? Right at Santa Rosa?
Right outside there.
That's strange, because we stayed right outside of there.
Is that right?
We spent the night right outside of Pensacola. But that's the Gulf. And then we're going over to the Atlantic, you know, at land. The landing. But Brother Glosson spoke about a Brother Gonzalez coming to the tabernacle, and we were discussing you while I was down there, and the Santa Rosa vision.
What that had to do with, you said something one time about the city of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. The lost city of Atlantis. Yeah, we was talking about that here a while back, that the revelation had to do with the lost city. I believe Atlanta had to do with it. Matter of fact, I believe if they checked back somewhere, they'd find out that there was a tie-in with the name of Atlanta, Atlantis. It is such a beautiful thing.
The Russians have found the city of Atlantis under the ocean.
They've discovered it, huh?
It's off the coast of Spain.
What was it the paper stated that they'd found on? UFO? Is it UFO? How did they say that?
UFO.
On Mars? UFO station or something on Mars? What was it? Or Saturn or something? Saturn.
That tie in, if they found, they discovered the city of Atlantis off the coast of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And Ponce de Leon.
Can kiss the dog.
Spaniard
came there.
Who was it?
Alfonso.
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 What does Al mean?
Yeah, that's the full name, Alfonso.
Alfonso. I've heard that name, Alfonso.
But it's short for Ponce de Leon.
Ponce. I know one thing. I know that the brethren here are standing in the... Of course, and when I say this, I have to say it on what I understand, you know. And the brethren, if they want to have a discrepancy or take, a different outlook, well, that's all right. I mean, that's their privilege. But I just have said on the strength of what I understand from God. But they that are sincere, that are with me, are standing, as far as I can tell, in the most beautiful place of anybody in the entire world today, are standing at this time in the most beautiful place of anybody in all the history of the world. So I have to say that because that's what I understand. And yeah, now it is. See, it is the first resurrection, but not acknowledged until it comes back in Revelation 19, and they see the people continue before them. You know.
Does that have to do with Whitefield, Washington, and Pike?
Let's see now, Whitefield, mm-hmm. Washington. I'm not sure that I could get the first two, but I couldn't get the last one.
Well, that's what we're talking about. You said it's time for them to receive the messenger.
Uh-huh.
But that is the resurrection. The resurrection of the Spirit's always been there, but the reception of the messenger is too weak.
Part of the
God. All I can say is this. The Lord is speaking to you about the revelation. The only way I know how to express what I think that he's trying to tell you, what I understand.
Let Bill tell you.
Well, really, it don't have anything to do with that last part about Pike. That, but what I'm trying to say is it does have to do with the last part of what you're trying to fit together as far as the last part, which is a body.
A continuation.
White.
They see a Harvester Herald coming out where God says it's going to break it out real good to me, that spiritual mind.
Brother George, there's some truth to that. It is, like I've said so many times, uh-huh. It's sincere and honest, and I'm not trying to flatter nobody. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. I heard the voice. I've told you this before. It's the truth. I heard the voice tell me that. He says, George Whitefield started, George Pike will finish it. Now, I wasn't no hearsay. I heard it. Now, I know the difference between hearing and hearing, and I heard that.
The Lord actually spoke that to you.
I'm convinced that I'm standing down in your house, and it just like that, it come to me. It's just as real as the vision about Elvis Presley. That's the truth.
Well, that's strange, you know. Sister Betty made a statement out in the White House that was similar to that.
I know it's the truth, Brother George, because remember when John Carnson was here?
I remember when John was here.
Remember when I had that book about George Whitefield? Well, the Lord dealt with me the same way. I said George Whitefield started it as far as the Pentecostal movement, sanctification. I said, this will bring it right here to the end, to the ultimate of it, way back then.
Well, the name Pike, it has a significance in this way. Of course, there's numbers of people that's named Pike. But it has a significance in that a pike, you know, you speak of a turnpike, a long, great, beautiful superhighway, say, connecting Canada and New York together. It means things that are cleared away, the confusion taken out, a place where you can really... You know, the danger, not a lot of danger on it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's escaping.
The vision of Washington.
Conscience.
And it go down again, but it come back up, and it looked like a heavenly intervention. And the prophecy down at the house that day from Sister Betty was Son of the Republic, Son of the Republic.
Now, what I understand of that and what you're saying is like Bill said about... Brother Branham saying the last thing being attacked on the White House. See, Washington saying that it would go down through communism, it went down. And then the rise of it would be the saints taking the kingdom. Because see, the saints don't take the kingdom until the world loses it. So it going down out there, the saints took the kingdom. God let the world have it as long as they could handle it. When they just throw it to the wind, so to speak, couldn't even hardly get a president to stay in office because they killed him so fast. Then the Lord brought in the religious man, Jimmy Carter, to breach it over to Atlanta to bring it to this area, which actually only showed what I said about Roosevelt. I believe you brethren will agree with me on this. Now, this sounds erratical. And it don't sound, how can I say it, it don't sound logical as far as present day reasoning. And yet, when you think about it, and really reason out, it sounds very logical. And that is, if Roosevelt, for what, four terms? 12 years, as we would say, seeking a foundation, a city with foundations, making it clean and beautiful. A president that was beloved of the people. They loved him. They wanted him. A president that loved them and cared for them. A president that suffered affliction that could feel the infirmities of the people. His wife was the one that made that statement, I'd rather light one little candle than curse the darkness. Well, take him. He wanted to live common. He moved into the little White House to live common, to have a common way of life. Now, Roosevelt died with the hearts of the people. Now, this is the way I see it, and if I'm wrong, then I hope the Lord will make me understand. But if Roosevelt died with the hearts of the people, if he died in office, then no man had the power to convey that office to anyone else but Roosevelt, except for one thing, that it be the act of God. Now, Jesus died in office, and if Jesus died in office, there might come kings, there might come whatever it will, but the Bible said he was made heir to the glory of God, and every one of them, though they have taken office. Yet if he comes back to life, they're going to have to yield it up because he never gave it to anybody. If Roosevelt comes back to life, they got to yield it up. And it's obvious that what God hath done is he hath brought about Kennedy in running on that same thing, Carter running on that same thing. And then the third thing that happened down there at the little White House was the act of God.
Picture down there where you was the only one in there. It looked just pure white amongst all the people.
Here comes the Jews.
Do you think that Kennedy will go in?
Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. He officially announced it, right?
Yeah, I made a statement that I felt like, from what I could see, that he wouldn't let nobody know none until the last minute, so to speak, right. And then he'd jump in, and it looked like he's pretty much done that. Yeah, to keep your eyes on Ronald.
Yeah,
he's running a typical thing.
He's going to run, too.
He's the top Republican contender. Mm-hmm. Right.
And he is running.
He is already announced his candidacy. John Conley might run with him, or run against him, you know, for the Republican ticket. You know, so it might be a split between
Jerry Brown, and Reagan, and Jerry Brown, and Kennedy, and Carter, about the three contenders for the Democratic ticket.
Right. Ron Howard Baker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that's going to cause a lot of shaking.
Who's that?
That's like I told the brethren down there, they want to know what the Lord said at the Santa Rosa Vision. I said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. I said, but you can read it in the Harvest Herald, it'll be out. And I said, the brethren's got it in there, so. Sure enough, I know they're going to be looking for it. Because a statement was made after the meeting. Said, man, said, I want to hear everything you had to say. Said, I want you to go on. So I know that they're going to be looking for it, you know.
Are you going down there and do something?
Huh?
Are you going to go down there?
As far as I know, Brother Gary, unless the Lord leads different. Yeah. I really won't. Spiritually speaking, I want all my children to go with me, as we say now. I really do. I want to gather them all together, if the Lord's will, because... You know what? I had thought about buying a Greyhound or something. I really had. I really thought about doing that. Either that or buy one. They said they'd send me one, as far as I know. Paid 11 with the tires and all. I believe what, I don't remember now. It was in excellent condition when we had it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they'd ask for. Huh? No, there was a church full of people. There were ministers all around there, and church full of people, numbers of churches and people. Thank you, brother. But only the certain ministers was in the conference.
Was Brother Holt down there, Brother? You know, Brother Holt from up in Crestview, was he down there?
No, you know, they don't quite come together too good because he believes in women preachers and they don't.
What about Shields? Brother Shields?
He wasn't there either. Brother Bankston wasn't there. One reason is Reby has moved from down there and moved up to this area. And of course, Reby has always kind of been on the woman side of it. See, I say again to the brethren that came in a little late, there's a Judah side of it, and then there is the feminine side of it. And Brother Branham's following has to do with the Judah side of it, the masculine side of it, which Brother Terrell in the tents, the wilderness, the children and the woman, the lost tribes. See, and that sign out there must surrender to this side. This side cannot surrender to that side. That would be perversion. But what's going to cause that side to surrender has to do with Brother Leon surrendering to this. Leon, even though he'll, you know, all these things, you know how a wife does and children does, but really it still shows that it surrendered to this side. And the way they surrender to this side is that they come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is this side. They eventually come to it. And the woman preacher finally has to, you know, which really kind of has to do with that sheriff coming up here from Bruton, the Crestview, mm-hmm. Brother Holt, the church burning down, him getting my Bible, and you can get something spiritual out of this. Brother Red was preaching down at Crestview, I believe, and, you know, that sheriff's been sheriff 30, 40 years. He's a big fella. He got up and just stormed out, slammed the door. Because Brother Red hit women preachers. Well, he's a good old boy. And of course, he says, now the sheriff says, I'm part of this revelation. As we said last time he was up here, when he told his wife he'd help her put on that long dress if she didn't know how to do it. But anyway, he stormed out. When he got outside, he got convicted. When he caught Red afterwards, and he said, Red said, I shouldn't have done that. Said, I didn't agree with you, but that still wasn't the right attitude. Said, come on, said, I just go buy you a steak. So Red, he took him on a steak. So they went off to get the steak, and while he was getting the steak, the man locked his key up in the car. To come back out, when he come back out, couldn't get to the key. And Red, he made it even worse then. He said, yep. So I noted, so I ain't never seen a man that believed in women preachers that didn't make a mess out of everything. The man said, you know what, Red said, my wife told me she wasn't no preacher. Said, I tried to make a preacher out of him and told her she was. And Red told him, said, you know, that woman's got good sense, so she knows she ain't no preacher. But I really saw something there, the law, you know, and the preacher and all that kind of thing, the woman preacher, surrendering it up because he really says he's part of the revelation here. He believes in this with all of his heart. And I really see that the Judas side of it, where Brother Terrell is speaking, the feminine side of it, which was the Rehoboam side that separated from Solomon's son, Jeroboam. Those 10 tribes showing the woman and the children having gone off down there and got lost, and that the man was not in the transgression, but the woman was the one that got lost off. It's obvious that Brother Terrell's saying the Lord was fixing to take him out, or he felt that way. It's obvious that Brother Terrell is the end of it. He's the end of it. You know, I made the statement, him and Brother Walden was the two that come into this, Moses and Elijah. Whereas they are, they're pulling right into it. Brother Walden's already kind of pulled in, laid down. Brother Terrell's doing the same thing now. He'll pull on into it and lay it down. And
Brother Terrell, when you made that statement,
Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's what it said in the letter.
I never noticed that when you read it.
We were discussing Brother Walden and Brother Terrell. Along about the same time, made the statement that his ministry was over.
Read that letter again of what it's saying. I don't recall.
Is it from Leon Dickens or Leon
Wilson?
Oh. Brother Frank Beretta.
He said, Brother Red told Frank and Dale after the first conference that we share and bring your daddy to every one of the meetings, even if we had to put him in a crate against his will and bring him, because everything was so quiet and boring without him. But he said when he comes around, he knows there's going to be a real battle.
Brother Red, he's looking for a fight.
He said,
Yeah, he believes in this. Red believes in this with all of his heart. It's the only thing he really does believe in. He just, yeah, he just always, you know, upset. And actually, Red don't fear anything but this. I don't guess there's anything that in the world that he fears except this. This scares him half to death, but ain't nothing else scares him. He just don't, he ain't afraid of nothing. But he gets afraid he'll lose his soul if he messes with this. I tell you, he really showed a good spirit and some good color down yonder. Even the foolishness that Red carries on, there was very little of that. Some things he said was real comical. It's his nature, you know. But he got his point over to them brethren. If you can read all of it, it don't matter. I don't know just exactly what pertains to what, but if you want to read it, it's all right, unless you got something that you don't want to read. I don't think about the only thing he said was referred to me as old George or something like that, Brother Terrellson. I don't know.
Hello, Brother George. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Thought I would. I felt led to write and tell you what happened the other Sunday after we left over at the tabernacle. The Lord spoke to me, and I went over to Jackson, Mississippi, to the Jesus Name Tabernacle on 49th Highway, and ministered to a large crowd of people. The Lord really moved. Brother Jerry, Laverne, and myself went in this restaurant. And we were sitting there waiting for our food when Brother David Turrell walked in. He was on a long fast and looked to be about 60 years old. He called me over to his table and wanted me to have this table. He stayed 5 nights and could not finish his revival, which started the same night I preached at the church. I gave him my tract, The Midnight Cry. He told some of his men to get some of them. They were good. 2 nights later, I went again and stopped at the same restaurant. When I pulled up, he walked in the same time I did. We had a long talk. I asked him if he knew you. He asked me about Brother Grady, and we talked about Brother Franklin Walden. He asked me if you ever got over Brother Branham getting killed. I said, Brother Pike has the greatest revelation that I know. He could not believe you were going overseas and on all those TV stations. I told him about Little Bethlehem. That night, Sister Grant got up. David laid on the floor and turned it over to her. He was so weak. The Lord said, what you bind on earth can be bound in heaven. I said, I bind this woman, preacher. They could not have a move and had to leave before their time.
See, that's the going out of it right there. And he's expecting us to come over and run a meeting.
The revival just folded up, him going on to be with the Lord, but said the revelation of Jesus Christ would rapture the church, so pray for him. The next day, some of my people said, Wilson, you bound that woman last night, didn't you? So here is the tape. He wanted me to hear this. I preached this 6 or 7 years ago. So God showed me a real great thing about my vision I told you about. I told him how to get over there. It could be possible he might come by there. It could be possible he might come by there. I said, Brother Terrell, sometimes stop by and talk with Brother George. He said, is old George really doing all that, brother? He had a real sweet spirit about it. So pray for us and come anytime. We will be glad for you to your son in Christ, Leon. And he goes on to say here, it says, if the Lord speaks to you, I want you to come over here after Thanksgiving anytime and preach for us. I've got another track coming out today, and we're going to make the track drive down through South Mississippi in a few days. If you have any tracks on hand, send me some, and we will give them out.
But George, one more thing.
Hello, Denny.
Ernie Correll is painting in Jackson, Mississippi. The trumpet, remember now the trumpet?
Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to be down there for 6 months.
In Jackson, Mississippi.
He's got a contract. He's just pulling money in by the barrels. He's making good money. I thought you'd want to know about it, because I know it's definitely tied up with that meeting with Leon and
yeah.
Carol.
He was sharing the boots. You know, that's something I was thinking. I know this don't sound right, but so help me. I was thinking an hour or so ago when I was just before I come to church, got out of my coach, I thought, my, I wish Denny had a hold of these things and could get them.
When you come up on the platform, I saw them. That's when I wish I had.
Well, that just right after I was thinking that. Thank you, Jim. I thought, Lord, I just wish Denny had all them to what he had them looking so pretty before. And what happened was my other boots, something happened to them, or shoes, whatever, and I had to start wearing them a few days there for every day. I wish I had that place sewed over there where they're trying to break loose in the archway. Right. That, if they had a, yeah, and if they had a heel, Denny, on the back of them, that little piece of rubber's wore out. But they need a little higher heel than that little piece of rubber was before.
About a quarter of an inch more?
Yeah, I would think so.
Quarter of an inch, okay.
You know them white ones that I had?
Uh-huh.
The heel was just about right on them.
Okay.
That would be good. I sure would appreciate it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I really had you on my mind.
You did?
Yeah, even this morning I really had you on my mind.
Is that right?
So I did.
Good.
Yeah, I had you on my mind. You know, it was good. And it was good, you know, when I had you on my mind. Say, man.
Well, in the dream, you was in a meeting somewhere. Now, I don't know where you was at or what you were doing down there, but in this, it looked like kind of a motel-built thing. It was, you could tell it was two-story or maybe three-story.
Mm-hmm.
It had a big old-fashioned stairway that went straight up, and the old wood columns, like, you know, the mm-hmm. wall. All right, you stayed in a room off to the right facing the stairs. And it looked like outside it was either real sandy or snow. I couldn't tell which one it was. And I only got one look at it in the dream, just when I looked at it. But it was real white outside there, real
mm-hmm.
white. So it looked like snow to me. But nevertheless, in the dream, you were Superman, and nobody knew it. And you had on the whole Superman outfit. And I never did see the S, though, but I knew it was a Superman outfit because it had the cape and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew it but me and your wife. And, you know, I know that sounds convenient for me, you know.
Well, it's probably got a significancy. The wife has to do with the church. Mm-hmm. And you knowing it like that would no doubt denote the brotherhood.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds better. But nevertheless, that's you. Amen. But nevertheless, I was the only one. The only reason I knew it because I was your security.
Uh-huh.
And I was the only security that you had night and day. And that meant I had to stay up night and day. And I was real weary.
Uh-huh.
And you was like a boxer in the deal. You didn't box or nothing, but it seemed like you went out to battle, you know, and then mm-hmm. you come back, and your wife took a great big blanket and wrapped it around you. I remember going out the door, and I had to be right there with you, you know, and you was mm-hmm. in your uniform or suit, you know, as I'd call it, and nobody could see that uniform but us two, because she had that thing wrapped around you, that mm-hmm. veil wrapped around you.
That's from the church, is keeping the message cloaked in, you know, to where nobody sees it.
Yeah. Well, the reason.
Because it would have to do with Christ.
The reason for it in the dream, if they would have saw it, they would have known who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have just flocked you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kept a security around, just like a normal man would, just to keep the people away and from bothering you, because you could have done anything you wanted to. You could have kept them mm-hmm. away. You had the power to. And in the vision. I'd kneel down outside the room and pray on the stairway. And while I was trying to keep my prayer life up, you'd come out the room and check everything, make sure it was all right. And I'd
you know, awake and try to act like I wasn't weary or nothing, and try to snap to attention, you know, let you know everything was all right, you know, and try to be faithful.
What it was, actually, that really wouldn't have nothing to do with me at all. What that would be Christ in the midst of the brethren, in the security, you know, in the cloak, keeping it around the Christ, around the message. And if it got out, see, people just pouring here. If they knew Christ was in the midst, well, you just couldn't keep them away. And then the
I can see why the S being gone, like the serpent being gone.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something?
I can't understand how that you can separate you from Christ. It didn't have nothing to do with you, but it had something to do with Christ.
Well, being a member, see, the Lord would just use me as a member.
That's like saying this ain't my arm, it's just connected to me.
Yeah, what I'm saying.
You come out the room. And when you did, I think, I can't remember whether it was Carl's wife or somebody spoke up and said, I think they said he was out riding. Carl was on a motorcycle, and Jimmy was on a bicycle. And they were out playing, and whatever that was, no, they were out the ball. But it was there. And that part lost me. I followed the fruit of the dream, but that part lost me. But they was out there, and Susan had a little baby, you know, holding and trying to see him out there. And finally, here come Jimmy on the bicycle. And he was just getting it, you know, in that sand or whatever it was. And they
rose up to play.
Yeah, they were having a good time. But you was looking for Jimmy. You wanted him for some reason.
That's the church. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, sands of theology, shifting sands of theology, that's true.
Somebody go get the drinks, I'll buy everybody.
Hey, hurry, brother.
Hurry.
Drink enough tabs.
You know, it is a...
Sugar-free Dr. Pepper.
It is a true fact, though, brethren. See, the real Superman is you, brethren. You know, you bear witness before... then he come in, I just made a statement that as far as I understood, that it was the most beautiful thing with you brethren ever in the history of the world. And see, if you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you can't be a man. I mean, he's every bit super in every respect. You'd have to be a superman. Of course, the comic strip Superman represents Jesus. The Lord would only use me in that sense because I'm the pastor here. That's all, to represent the brethren. I'm nothing.
But you know, Brother George, you'll have to admit that you being a man, just being a man, is just a man. It's just a normal, everyday human being, you know, like the rest of us. But you'll have to admit that God has heaped on your shoulders a bigger responsibility as far as having to carry the load than any of us have ever carried or have to carry. So in that, he has to make you or give you more strength of his strength to carry it than any of us have got, because none of us ever even come to the knowledge of the load that you're carrying yet, much less of what it takes to carry it.
Well, you know, as far as the strength part, that part I see.
You forgot that the son of David pulled you disguise off this morning.
That's right.
that was the Lord Kent's disguise. The last one.
That's
right.
Yeah. Where's Mass Man? Has it always been a fuss? I know the message is the great part, but hasn't it always been a fuss over the man? Even in the days of Jesus, there was a fuss over the man. Even in the days of Brother Brown, they wasn't really arguing about the message of Brother Brown. They were talking about Brother Brown. You know, they connected Brother Brown with the message. And see, that's the same way it is now. It's the message. But to me, there wouldn't be no message without a message to carry the message.
That's right.
See, that's to me, it's a lot of fuss.
Well, actually, his vision has to do with one thing that I said before I went down yonder. I know some of them probably don't remember. Some of you do, because some of you really got sharp ears. I didn't find that out. But what he said and what little David done this morning, before I went down yonder, I said they're putting up that messenger line. And I said, whereas before they would receive the message, but not the messenger. But in the coming back, I spoke to my wife and the brethren that they would receive the messenger. Whereas with him saying what he said, see, really proves that. Whereas still, brethren, it still amounts to this. You got to admit that really I'm nothing. I mean, that's the truth. There ain't no, ifs and ands about it. I mean, I ain't nothing, not nothing. Like I told Barney down yonder, I said, now, Barney was talking about something. I said, but look, Barney, I said, the way I feel, I said, it's like the pebbles on the beach, and I'm just thankful to be a pebble. I am. I'm just thankful just to be one of the pebbles. I tell you what, I feel like I'm littler than anybody. I just praise God to be on the beach with you.
You know why they call it messenger cable? It's got a little...
That is the messenger.
It carries, that's right.
That is the messenger.
That is the messenger.
Not the cable itself,
the support cable is a messenger, and that carries the message.
It carries the information.
It carries the message, which is a regular coaxial.
Is that
right? The messenger.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Placed together.
That's right. There's no way you separate
it. I thought that was the support of it.
It is. It's the strength.
The messenger is the support.
It's the strength, but the coax carries the signal.
That's right.
And that's
it. They're bonded together.
Interwoven.
All in him and one.
Well.
And you went out there and put 2 and 3 wraps on it.
Yeah.
It's time. You know, it is. It's really something, though, Brent. I'm honest from my heart. Really. Really from my heart, I'm honest. You brethren have the message. I mean, now you can say pro or con, but you know that's the truth. I'm just a helper of your faith, you know. I'm the helper of your faith. They even give me some of them.
Brother George, you was talking about a while ago about
Roosevelt
dying and all.
Uh-huh. You know, them came from Bayman, I believe.
You know, when we down there, the little film, you know, like you said, you didn't go and watch the little film there. Didn't you say that you didn't watch the little film they showed in there?
Where was this at?
The little White House.
No, I didn't go in and watch the film.
Well, the little film, I took some notice on some things that happened there. Mr. Roosevelt,
thank you.
When he would come down there, well, all the reporters would come. He drove his own car, you know, where, you know, you think a big president, he's got his chauffeur, you know, and his bodyguards and everything. But he drove his own car.
Sure.
And all the reporters, you know, they just flock around the car. And he talked to them about foreign affairs, you know, what was going to happen, you know, what was taking place. And he just sat there and he'd go in there. And I thought about it, I said, that looks like Brother Joey and Brandon, you know, trying to find out what's going on. And he spent all his time with the little ones, you know, and all he was concerned with the little ones, you know. He tried to share their affliction, you know, like you saw up there. And it made me think so much about you, and you even favored him, you know, that picture.
Yeah,
there's a photograph of Mitch's office.
Yeah.
Where you and Sister Beta there, you know, and it's so much.
You know, it's a strange thing about the president. This I noticed. Give them all some, David.
I ain't got a pack going that way.
Okay. You know, it's a strange thing, brethren, but this I really notice, and I know this will really cause y'all's ears to prick up a little bit. But in the room of our conference, and I've never seen this before, but in the room of our conference, which was a beautiful room, he had photographs this big, headburst, of every president in the United States. And he had one of the most beautiful ones of Roosevelt. But he had one of every president on this side and on this side of the wall. And our table was in the middle of them. It was really amazing. You know, the last attack on the White House and so on.
I just thought about something. Up under here, me and Dwight was talking about it last night, I believe. Up under here, Monday, this will officially become your office because we're planning on moving all the stuff down there. Money that's going to become your office. The cornerstone that was laid for this work, you might say, was laid right in the corner of that office. God foreseeing it all this time, knowing that your office was going to end up being right in the corner of the building. Laid that cornerstone right there in the corner of the office.
I didn't know you know that, but that's true right here.
I was out there when you prayed on it. We laid the first block of
that would go also back to Roosevelt, too, wouldn't
it? Yeah, the healing waters, yeah. And the, office downstairs I thought about the other day. See, Mitch has to do with the open door, having been an undertaker. and death and the resurrection, Brother Branham, the Open Door of Indiana. And then Dennis' brother coming in this time, Joseph, you know, coming out of the dungeon. It's really something. Then our brother coming down from Tennessee up there, and there's just so many wonderful things that's interwoven with it. Did everybody get some of these? Let me walk downstairs a few minutes. You know, I was just telling Brother David Paul and some of them, when we went down there a while ago, Dave insisted I go down and see where they're stuck on and where they are taking all that stuff out, putting some of it in the pit, some of it restoring. Y'all have to bear with me a little, because like I told Bill, we was up real late last night and night before, and the pressures and all. But while I was down there, I thought, now, Lord, this has to do with the resurrection before I go up to Bill. And it come to me on the way when you go up to Bill this time, you know, it's coming back from down Pensacola. When you go up to Bill's, let them set a mic up this time. Well, really, just talking, you know, at random, the way we talk, it wouldn't even make sense unless, you know, unless the Lord was in me, something he's going to do with it, have some reason. But anyway, we picked up this little thing, you know, on the Easter Lily, down there, while we was looking through that thing. And it really had to do with what we thought, you know, the resurrection. And Brother Jim come by and got one, and there's three or four that come by that got one as we went by. And going down in that place where he cleaned all that stuff out and had him do the resurrection, I picked up this little Easter message, and the thing the Lord quickened to me was, it said, death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Where Revelation 1:18, our Savior Jesus Christ has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:10, all men are immortal, which means that the soul is deathless. We go on living after the body returns to the ground. But it is a terrible thought to go on living apart from him who is life and light and love. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Our Lord Jesus Christ partook of our flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The thing that I got out of this was, see, we had gone down yonder. And that had to do with death, burial, and resurrection. Reuben the firstborn, the coach, the way cross, going down to the Gulf. And sure enough, we rode all through town, everywhere, and run across Brookshire Street, Government Street, on down. And then finally got down to the Gulf itself. And then from there, we finally got in touch with them and got over to the meeting. And I was telling Betty how it had to do with the resurrection, and come right along, went down there and picked these things up. They were quickened to me. And I picked it up, you know. And it was just exactly the way the Lord had pointed it out. Hello, Brother Bob. But I thought about it. It says, Christ's resurrection changed Mary from a mourner into a messenger, Thomas from a doubter into a believer, Peter from a denier into a preacher, Paul from a persecutor into a missionary. thank God for that day, the first day of the week, the declaration. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And I thought about what we had earlier mentioned, that they don't have a service down there on Sunday morning. That is, they don't have that resurrectional thing. It is going to see the darkness and then coming up here to the resurrection, the morning service.
No, 1980 has to do with the end gathering. Then when will we come into perfection of faith?
Okay, now that's the very thing that we was talking about down there. The fivefold ministry is set in the body for the perfecting of the saints. Whereas Paul said, we wish to see even the perfecting of your faith. See this trip, David. That's okay. It's all right.
Getting Chris in the new ship.
This is okay, Bill, I think.
That thing must be frozen.
Is champagne sticky?
Champagne is
when you got a champion after the champion. Bill.
Thank
you. Okay.
Just give that thing to me.
Jim, let me tell you something. When you leave, you need to take these cans with you. Everybody take your can. Every man with his can.
I'm sorry, just loosen the seals.
Yeah, you know, Leah.
Fountain overflowing.
The lime is on the way.
Yeah. See, that encourages me. I thought, you know, I thought, my, usually when they do that, I'm ruined. You know, I can't stand it sticking. But I noticed I hadn't felt that.
Richard, is this your
it don't have a sugar to it.
All Prince's gone out of it.
Isn't that something?
Richard, is this yours?
Most of the time, it doesn't.
Oh, it, yeah, it come to Richard, me this morning. Then is what I was one thing when the Lord was dealing me about you, because I don't know that your brother even sang, but it come to me to have you and Joseph sing something tonight. And I thought, well, I don't even know where Joseph even sang.
He sang real good.
Is that right? You need to get ready to sing with him, because that's what come to me to have y'all sing tonight.
I don't know if he will, but I'm scared to sign to death.
He was good. I don't know what kind of meal, Bobby, but he was good. Got a good day. I tell you, brethren, y'all got something. Not only your financial blessing up here, but you got something. You don't realize what you got and how much you know until you go out there and put it to the exchangers. And when people begin to find it out, they begin to call on you to buy your product. So they'll go to them that sell at the midnight cry. Brother Leon taking that thing to Brother Terrell. That's coming back. See, Brother Terrell's name was brought up down yonder in the meeting. And taking it over to Brother Terrell like he did at the giving him that midnight cry track that he has. And it's really something. They all were asleep at midnight. He said he gave him that track and he went in there and then lay down. Couldn't finish his meeting. I hadn't had any communication with him since up yonder.
He's not on Big Gun anymore.
I knew that he'd come off a big gun. I heard he.
What about David Turtle? Is he still on there?
Yeah.
As far as I know, David's still on there.
Brother Joey, this morning when you were talking, I felt something real strong about two sons.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking about the Gulf and the Atlantic, going to the Atlantic, and the conference. It was like a ministerial conference. And I got to thinking that another big center of what they call the Brother Brown followers is around Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the Lord was showing me that there was two suns, and that the eastern sun had to come into it first, and that you would go west, and that the western sun would come into it, or the physical, had to do with the Jew, I guess. The physical realm, they would come into it.
It does have to do with that. Matter of fact, I was thinking on that last night. Where the eastern part is where Brother Branham's spirit is preserved. Bill, do you remember this, or maybe Gary, some of y'all remember me making a statement that Brother Branham's death, there was a spiritual thing denoted by it, that his spirit went into the east, which was his tapes and message.
Yes, sir. Amen.
His soul, which is his wife and children, went into the desert, into the fire, which was Arizona. And then his body, like Joseph of Arimathea, taken down by the full gospel businessmen, only thing he ever joined, and laid away. He gave him his body to that extent, because that's what it was, publication thing, using him, you know, and making his grave among the, you know. And, obviously that not with all respect, no disrespect, but you know, when Jesus was killed, he went down among the demons. And when you say Demas, you know, the body going down like it was, and I don't mean it wrong, because really Demas himself is a fine man. I've talked with him, but it is a true. Yeah, demons has forsaken me. It is a true thing. See, that Brother Branham, he said, that kind of caught my, took my thoughts off what I said. He said, demons, it's, maybe come back to me.
Down with the demons. You went down with the demons.
Uh-huh. But, Brother Branham, maybe I can pick it up. You know, that's really something. The mind of Christ, if it lifts for 1 second, I'm just as blank can be. As long as it's talking, it's just as clear as a noonday. But it is so sensitive, just like a dove, if it lifts for 1 second. I mean, I'm blank, brother, and I'm honest before God. I'm just as blank as I can be when it lifts. It's like you turned off a movie projector. I just have to wait until it, you know, until he turns it back on. But anyway, for instance, see, I don't mean it's disrespectful to Brother Jack. But it's like we said, what we did about the pommel worm. Don't mean it wrong about Brother Vail. God's using the men, but still, Brother Branham's death, it went within the veil. And as sure as you live, though Lee is a great man, a great scholar, and he's more or less got control of Brother Branham's followers to that extent. As a matter of fact, it was praising him down here. But going back to the Greek side of it, that would be right, you know. But that'll give way to the revelation. It'll give way. Lee will recognize it, and it'll give way.
Did you have a confrontation with Lee or running Lee one time at the bodies?
I've never talked with him. I saw him. I can't remember him. But he was at that Episcopal meeting, you know, we spoke of there. And I was there with Bobby Wells. Bobby wanted me to meet Lee. Mm-hmm. By that time, Lee was real lifted up within himself. I think Lee's made quite a change. Uh-huh.
Grand Gulf Hotel. What is
that? Yeah, that's right.
Up in the Carolinas, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Transfiguration. Yeah, you was up there, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that's what it had to do with the Transfiguration.
Had
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the waters are 99% pure. But you know, they ministered. It was a Catholic thing, and they wouldn't let them go back into the Holies of Holies. They had a little balcony out from it that they could minister there. But it was obvious that the third pull that Brother Brown spoke of, that it wasn't taking place there. It was made in the form of a cross, which denoted the second part of it. But you, brethren, according to what I understand, you, brethren, represent the third heaven. See, the third pull, of course, is the third heaven. And you represent the third heaven, the mind of Christ. The mind of man is one heaven. I mean, who can deny that a world being a mind, that that's a heaven? I mean, what if there was no mind? There'd be no life. If there's no life, there'd be no world. There'd be no eats, drinks, enjoyment, no life. I mean, who can deny that life is heaven? So then life is heaven. Anywhere you find life, it's heaven. And I know the devil can bring in briars and thorns and heartaches and sorrows, and can bring in some miseries that you can, so much misery that you can turn into a hell. They call it living hell. And to live is really to be tormented. But as far as God's concerned, without all of that, or in the midst of all that, we'll say, according to the average happening, God grades it. One grade, two grades, three grades. Good, better, perfect, as we would say. And the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. I mean, even in the first heaven, one, two, three, up, that would be something, even with your misery.
Well, what about, I never get what you're talking about, everybody started moving around something like that, when you said, if 1980 shows the end gathering, then when will we come into the perfection of our faith?
Well, that's what the revelation is.
Will that phase of it, should I say, come in after the end gathering, when all the churches gathered together, and will they all come into it at one time? Or will there be different ones growing into it?
The Thessalonian change, let me say it like this, Dave. Faith has to do with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, believing comes from knowing. Some is knowledgeable. For instance, there's a believing of every mind. There's a human believing, animal believing, angelic believing, or God believing. God's believing is the highest form of believing. To believe as God believes is to be God. See, because God thinks that he's God, believes that he's God. He knows that he's God. He thinks that he can do anything whenever he will, whenever he wants to. To think like that is to be God. Human beings think also according to their level. They think they can open a can, take a swallow of drink, cook a pie. An angelic being, he thinks that he can sweep through the heavens, sweep down to earth, make himself visible or invisible. In other words, according to man's knowledge. So the perfecting of his faith depends on what world he's in, what mind, what measure of mind that's been given him. If he's been given the measure of mind for the third heaven, which is Christ's mind, then his faith will not be human faith, but God faith. If it becomes God mind, it will be God faith. If it becomes God faith, it will be God life, God riches, God blessing, God existence. Does that sound clear? See, that's what we're doing. We're changing from one world to another, one mind to another, one dimension to another, from faith to faith, glory to glory. In doing that, the way we're doing it is from word to word, preaching to preaching, proportion of message to proportion of message, comprehension to comprehension, the heights, depth, width, and length. Therefore, being transformed or transformated by the renewing of our mind, like translating a Bible from Greek to English. word by word, thought by thought, thought by thought. Be therefore transformed by renewing your mind, Paul said. Translated in spirit, transformated in mind, transfigured in body. A 1, 2, 3. First, translated in spirit by new birth, Christ within you, the hope of glory. Instantaneous thing. Next, a time-taking, progressive program. Progressing slowly but surely, taking time to transformate the mind step by step. When it is thoroughly translated from the beast mind of man, where it is fallen, it will be God mind. Then, when it's God mind, it will be perfect faith. We wish to see in the perfecting of your faith, for we are the helpers of your faith as a ministry. And we help your faith by revealing to you the benefits of God, the promises of God. Therefore, you hear, you believe. Faith comes by the hearing of the knowledge. You believe till you're perfectly, thoroughly furnished, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished. He knows his rights, knows who he is, knows what he is, knows his purpose, what he's born for, and then he believes. That's perfect faith. The Lord brings them all into that. Then when they're all into that, all of them knows that they're waiting for one thing, and that is for him to sound the trumpet. In that, there's one thing that sparks off the whole thing. When the dead come out of the graves, and we're nearing that right now. Brother Brown's following has to do with it. The peace to Israel has to do with it. We're getting close to it now. Even going down yonder, they had that little ark. You saw it. The children had bought them a little ark, and all the animals went. They put them in that little ark. Going down yonder, and they were showing me how it would float. And they got them a book where Red Riding Hood and the Wolf got it with the action on Cinderella. They got them a book on Cinderella. And I don't know what all they had. 2 or 3 things that was real typical going down to the place where we was at. But the mind is the main thing. The Bible said don't faint in your mind. Don't faint in your mind. When a man faints, he faints in his mind. My people, I'm always preaching to them about their thoughts, their thoughts, their thoughts, their thoughts. Most churches, well, they ain't even got around to their doings yet. They're still charismatic. So, I mean, they ain't even got around to the second part, the physical part of it, let alone the third heaven, which is a spiritual part. But see, he said he would feed us the fruits of our thoughts. Our thoughts produces fruits. And sometimes they don't taste too good. Yeah, that's right. Your thoughts can make you bitter as quinine, or it can make you sweet as honey.
Americans, they got over in Iran. What does that have to do with it?
Well, out of that area comes Antichrist, you know. In that area, he is in a precise position.
Khomeini?
Yeah, he is right where he's got control of Israel's oil and supplies and
The Pope sent him word over there, and told him to release them people. He said he wasn't going to pay any attention to him. Is that right? It's in the headlines. He said he didn't pay no attention to him at all. He said he'll send him word back. He said, but he says it's out of my hands. He said the nation here wants to hold them people captive. And Carter's ordered to gather all the Iranians up here in America and find out the ones that's still here illegally and get them out of here.
I got a builder, and he's got an Iranian working for him. I seen him the other day. I said, Don, I said, what's it, Khomeini? That's what I called him. I said, what's Khomeini doing? His name is Muhammad. He said, but he's laying low, boy. He said, man, he's afraid them rednecks gonna get him or something. But he's telling me there's two of them, and Snell, you know, the way he says. Well, it's a bad situation in strains that Antichrist see. Sinners around that area will say, you know, the things around that area. And that is a religious thing with the Muslims. It's, and that Mosque of Omar is built over there on the site of of the temple, which has got to bring in that last week of Daniel. And it's strange that he's got control of the oil supplies to that extent.
Trying to kidnap the governor, I think it was Minnesota.
There's four Iranians, one in Sudan, one from Sudan.
What governor was that?
He was a governor of Minnesota. His name was, had a funny name, I can't remember.
They were trying to kidnap him.
Yeah, they was outside. He was having some kind of a meeting or something. And they was plotting. They was fixing to get him.
Man, it meant something.
Brother George, after you went through Brother Branham's wife going into the fire, then you spoke of demons. You know, for typically the full gospel
body,
the body part. Where would that lead us up to right now as far as what you was going through with the vision? Because you went through it explicitly with me down there at your house about the Santa Rosa vision and all those things that took place before and after.
Yeah, I suppose that I probably went through that vision and that with you probably more carefully, more explicit, and lengthy than anybody that I have ever told. And you've got to admit, Brother Denny, that from the beginning, the length of time it took and all, that it was astounding in the things that we brought in from the beginning all the way through to the end that so precisionally fit together, just like a little screw and a little washer and a little tap, you know. And
so you went through all the way up till today, too.
You're right on down the line.
What would take place.
Uh-huh.
That's why I wanted you to try to finish, you know, the road would commit and finish what you started a while ago.
Even if you
had to pick back up and go through the body, soul, and spirit again.
There's so much to it, you know, to relate it, to go step by step and relate it. It's really fascinating to go into it step by step. But the biggest thing at this point is, and the reason why that I made mention of the body, soul, and spirit was, see, some Brother Richard, made mention of Whitefield and some things that run in that, and made mention of an Arizona tie. Where, see, that is very definitely so, because first you pick up your eastern part where Brother Branham's spirit went. And the spirit is the only part of the three parts that hath the power to do anything on its own. So then, at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, because it is the life of the body. Therefore, the spirit, which is the life, which you brethren represent here, and I don't mean this wrong, you're the only ones that have power to do anything as far as representation. I mean, what can the soul do? What can the body do? That's why Brother Branham and his followers haven't done anything. They don't have the power to do that. You know, I mean, I don't mean that wrong and discrediting God. If they were here in general, because we got numbers of them here, you know, that see. But if there's some of them here that didn't see, well, they'd be ready to, you know, crucify me anew.
The body without the spirit is dead.
That's right. The body without the spirit is dead. And they're on the verge of the skin worms working in the body. We said this just before he came in. It has to do with Brother Brown, like corruption, and St. Augustine, the fountain of youth, that is lying, coming back, and some of the brethren wasn't in here when we made a statement. Brother David Paul spoke about, in St. Augustine?
Ripley's,
believe it or not. And we had spoke about that at one time concerning, believe it or not, while I was down there, I talked to the wife about it, and some of them was with me, of what it had to do with. And see, there's a fort there. There is a landing there. Leon, the fountain, saints, prisoners, resurrection, all that has to do with Brother Glosson, the glorification. You know, when you put a gloss on something. Homa, having to do with those things. We spoke about Peter Street and Homer having to do with Peter and the keys. And Homer being at that meeting and him and Brother Gloss and more or less being somewhat the instigator of this in some sense, you know. And Homer having to do with Junior Jackson, the sleeping part. That is from the Tabernacle of God, Bill, down to the sleeping part, Junior. And then making a statement against this, then moving on over to come to the resurrection just before corruption sets in. That is people being considered worms. I'll have to do that one, Jacob. Trying to get into the body of Brother Branham. You know, before the body of Jesus saw corruption, the same revelation, let us say it like this, the same God that entered into Jesus that was made flesh, before that body saw corruption, in that he said he suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, before it saw corruption, that same God, that same life, went back, picked it up, brought it back out. Well, see, it indicates by that the true body, all believers, will receive the revelation. They'll know it's one and the same when they hear it. That is to say, they'll say, my God, it's the same thing. And when they do, it'll enter back in, and out'll come the body before it sees corruption, before people begin to commercialize off of it, or the skin worms work. Because like that German, see, that denoted the knowledge part, he kept saying this so-called message. You know, he was getting better. And you can see by that the worms was about to work in it. When they turn on it after being with it for years and saying the so-called message, whereas he talked like he'd give his money to it, his time to it. And what was so inspiring was he said, it cost me my son. Well, you can see something spiritual there. See, Germans representing knowledge, going back to the law, you know, and saying that it costed me my son. Well, like I said, you can see Christ depicted in that and see his bitterness. And yet, in that he took to us the way he did, you know, saying what he did about the blessings. And in that he had to do with Canada, making mention of it. And it was really amazing in that these things were so definite and outstanding. So I was just simply saying one thing, and that is that the spirit has to go pick up the soul, which means start in the east, pick up the group in Arizona, and then move toward California, the West Coast, getting them on the West Coast. Well, there's three different sectional groups of them. Over here, there's a group over here that believes in one thing, and when you get out in the West, you know, it's that charismatic thing of a happy-go-lucky, and I don't mean that wrong, because there's people that love God out there, but in general, people get into a rut, like me and David was talking, they get to praising God. Praise is not a rut to praise God, but speaking of a rut in the sense that they are taught that praising God is worshiping God. Whereas the Bible said we worship him in spirit, and that in the spirit of holiness. You know, and they get carried away with this thing that as long as we sing in the spirit and praise God in the spirit and we claim the spirit and talk about the spirit, you know that we're serving God, and yet they're not living holy, not cutting away from the world or anything, and they've got in a rut with that thing. Well, you got a woman part of it. You got a children's part of it. And the children's part of it, children don't know anything. I mean, they don't know anything. You say Hollywood. Actually, you got, say, a woman's world. But you really got children. Stars denote children. The moon denotes the woman. The sun denotes the man. So the woman is a reflector of the seed to life for the children, which is the stars. So you got California, which is Hollywood, you know. Whereas the desert is not really life. The only thing that the desert does, you know, being the Red Man area, indicating the moon rim, all it does is reflect on to the west the riches of the east. That's all. And eventually when the quaking starts, the children will run to the mother and she don't know what to do with them, and they'll run on to the east back to the daddy, you know. So it's really, you brethren, you're the only ones in the type that can go out and pick up the soul part and then go on to the children. You're the only ones that can do it. The spirit is the only one that can do that. And we see it. We see it in the 1, 2, 3. When you see Pentecost going into Baptist, Baptist in the Methodist, Methodist in the Catholic, so forth like that. You know, see the Confederation, Protestants to the Catholics to the Jew. I mean, the Protestants say, we're nervous, we're taught, we're just children, we learn it. We better get back to the mama. So they go back to the Catholic, and she says, well, I'm all nervous too, I don't know what to do. So she runs back to the Jew, and says, salvation's of the Jew, he's the daddy, we better go. That's where it first come to. So he becomes the head of the nation and all. It's really something, brethren, the way it's all shaping up. And like I said, it's such a fearful thing. Because right at this point, the St. Augustine thing, right at this point, is denoting the releasing of the prisoners. Like Brother Gary used the term, the saints. Brother Darrell used the terms of prison down there. David used the terms, believe it or not. See, those things in combination all together, all those things in combination down there, it denotes a resurrection and the coming forth. So it's really a fearful thing, a real fearful thing, right at this point. And what makes it, hello, Brother Jane, what makes it so outstanding, hello, Dave, is that everything is pointing toward little Bethlehem. That's the standard reason for out of Bethlehem, you know. So it all stands to reason that everything is a breach over. But what's so standing is the government in everything, sir.
I thought about it. At the same time, God's setting up a headship of his kingdom right here in Georgia. The World Congress building being over here and that over there. And you went down in the Lord there last night about Joseph revealing himself to his brother. Telling him, and you said something in there about how that when they pressed to the point, you said, told them about the body of Christ, facing this holy one, not see corruption.
Not the prophet.
That's right.
But the latter times by his son Jesus.
That's right. And I thought about that, and Joseph was made the governor, Great Zaphnathanea.
That's right.
It's the city of seven governors right here.
What they don't realize, see, with Brother Branham, and if I said this, they'd want to crucify me still. But what they don't realize was, like we made that prediction about Glad Tidings Tabernacle, I didn't know it was there. See, when the pillar of fire first came to Brother Branham, it came to him over at Pike. That's where it came to him. And there at the Glad Tidings Tabernacle on the banks of the Ohio River. And right there at Pike Street is where it came to him. And going all the way back around to where it come from. See, the Lord allowed that. He could allow that on any street. But he knew what he was doing in that thing.
Man, that was lost in the family.
Huh?
That's what you brought up about the lost in the family.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's your brother Charles and
all. The lost in the family.
About the same dates come in there. You know, you remember the Temple Beautiful?
Yeah, well, I remember that.
It had to do with that part, you know, entered into his gates.
Yeah, the beautiful gates.
I thought also they did the third grain bin yesterday. Joseph and how that they started preparing to store up their grain, you know, and everything. And grain bins coming in right here at this
working
time.
Working on the third.
Yeah, that's right. Stone up the grain.
Shows, we're in for 7 years of planting.
See, all of the people gave their land to Joseph. And he allotted to them so much to raise their crops, to take care of their little ones. God's speaking.
There's a man over here, I think it's in Powder Springs. I don't know if you heard about him or not. They did something like a 60 minutes on him, you know. And they call him a war machine. And he's training gorillas. And he's got a camp over there. And I don't know how many men he's, you know, got in training.
Oh, men gorillas, yeah.
I was thinking
he's a lot braver than I am.
They was talking to him about this Iranian thing, you know. And they asked him, they said, have you got anything in contact? I mean, have you been in contact with the United States about going over there and freeing them? And he said, yeah, we've got something working.
I really appreciate that.
And they said,
well,
could you tell us what it is? He said, well, certainly I can't tell you what it is. And what he does is, down the Panama Canal or something, they had a little trouble back this, they kidnapped somebody. And what they do is they'll contact him, and they say, we've got hostages, they've kidnapped 25 people, and we need you to come down here and get them. And so what do you do? He'd get his group together, and I mean, they're highly trained people. And they set a regular camp and everything. And so he flies them down there, and they go in and they do whatever they have to do, and they free the people. And it's right over here in Powder Springs, right? I think Powder Springs just does not Atlanta somewhere. And
right, close by.
And they said he was you know, they call him a war machine. And he works with a whole bunch of, like Israel has had him, but, you know, he's worked for Israel before. And they said now that he's on this, that 60 people over in Iran, they said he's talking to the demon. Well, if that thing, Brother George, that thing, if they push your own thing there, that could detonate a war right there, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could.
Did you know that the mayor was elected in Macon, named George Israel?
No, I didn't. That's right. Yeah. But isn't that something that's speaking about that having to do with Israel, doesn't it?
Yes, right.
See, they say that
moved to Macon,
the capital. Uh-huh.
He defeated
Machine Gun
Thompson. Is who he defeated? Isn't that some Machine Gun Thompson?
And what's his name?
George Israel.
And the boundary line runs from Israel across there, coming around there on the map. Isn't that something? You know, I spoke about Macon coming up here because I was telling them how that the thing went to seed in Macon. And I was telling Betty last night, I told Betty, Betty, if you remember, they had a meeting down in Macon that Lamar refused to go to because they had it at a funeral home, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And it's... Lamar said he wasn't going to no William Brown and meeting at a funeral home. But you know, we had spoke about it going out down there, Brother Palm and all. He wouldn't go.
What did you say,
he told me he wasn't going to no William Brown meeting at no funeral. You know, I'd had the vision. Yeah, I'd had the vision. You remember why I saw Brother Branham's grave and all of them lined up? You know, at the grave and darkness falling on them. He said he wasn't going.
Did you get to talk down that meeting?
Sir?
Did you get to talk down that
meeting? Yeah, I'm afraid I did. I really did, Brother James. I said a whole lot of things. We had a general, what would you call it, a general revolution, or would that be the right
thing? General revelation.
revelation. And the sparks really fled, Jim. I mean, it was like fire in the bushes.
They didn't get no tape in that bitch, Brazil.
No, no tape. Nobody, you know, that strange thing. But as far as I know, unless Brother, secretly made a tape, which he might have done, I don't know. But as far as I know, God didn't suffer no pictures, no tapes, no nothing to that meeting. But now I've got a feeling it'd be different over yonder on the Atlantic side.
Amen. You're right.
Praise the Lord. Brother Richard, he acts like he's going to take a camera. But I really got a feeling, sure enough, it really will be different.
Brother Chubb, I don't think Fred takes the camera and the recorder, whether he did or not, I don't know.
Oh.
No, they took them for that. They didn't do nothing with them.
Nobody could go in though. It was
kind of
like
it
was closed.
Yeah, it was a closed meeting. He had it closed, and he's pretty thorough in closing up.
Just a few could get in there. We're 12.
It was only 12 of us. There's a number of ministers around and people around. There's just 12. I don't know why.
Your friend Frank. There's 11 there.
Yeah. What was it, Brother James? The oldest city in the United States.
What's the name of that fort?
Fort Oglethorpe is no. Isn't that it?
What is it,
Darrell? I've been trying to think of the last.
Fort Augustine.
Is it Frederica?
Well, they really got a fort down there, though.
They got
prison and all.
The mode is called.
Uh-huh.
It goes around, they have to let the drawbridge down.
It's a beautiful place, too.
It is, man. It's beautiful. Sir? Augustine of Hippo.
Mm-hmm. He was the first great Catholic scholar. And he was the first great Catholic scholar to expound the doctrine that if you can't convert the heathen to their religion, that you'd be better off to go ahead and kill them and have them go to hell.
Ain't that something?
Oh, ain't that something? Oh.
Maybe that song, Hoc Liber Augustine. That's an old lover. Old lover Augustine.
Repent or perish.
That's exactly it. If there's a message coming up in St. Augustine, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, brother. It's very true.
I think down there at St. Augustine, they also got the wax museum where I think, if I'm not mistaken, where they, I know they got Kennedy there, but I'm thinking that that was one of the first places they had Kennedy, as far as in the wax, you know.
Well, it's definitely typical because, see, you getting down in there where the launching pad is for the satellite catching up and those different things that, Cape Kennedy and Cape Canaveral.
They renamed it back to Cape Canaveral.
They brought it back to Cape Canaveral.
Cape Kennedy back to Cape Canaveral.
Is that right?
Renamed the island.
That is something after the catching up. We had a meeting down there, yeah. And then they changed it back.
My grandfather was in charge of that lighthouse down there.
Your granddad? Is that right?
My mother used to play up and down the stairs in that lighthouse.
Is this you? Of course, he's gone now. That's something. Was that at Cape Canaveral?
No, that's St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. Well, that really is something.
We was talking last night. It ain't like, you know, most churches, it's just a group where town people come out. You might have somebody from the town 40, 50 miles away or something. But you stop and think, we got people from all over the United States and just about every state you think of, we got people where God just picked them up. Just moved from into this thing. So unreal.
That is true. I don't guess there's, as far as I know, there's north, south, east, and west. All four corners is somebody from it.
Even in the center.
In the center.
You know, that's really, you talk about a new government. That's really a new government. Because that's the way America started. Mm-hmm. America said, send me your halt, your lamb, your vine, your downtrodden. And that's the way this is.
Bunch of
rejects. Yeah, that's true. It really is true, like David said, it is the rejects. But it's like I told Betty last night, I said, Betty, there's one thing about it. The first part is right. I said, certainly it has been the stone that's been rejected. I said, if the first part's right, then the second part should be right. If it is, I said it become the head of the corner. And I said, you don't, there's no way that a stone could become the head of the corner unless it was a pyramid. Because corners don't have heads. you know, unless it's a pyramid corner. That's the only corner that has a head. So the brethren here are rejects as far as that goes. They don't fit anybody else's plan but God. The world's rejecting them. They have to be the body of Christ.
Well, Joe, that's what those Brother Brennan fathers are doing. You see, that like you went down there, you 12 brothers like Joseph. Uh-huh. Then in the time of the famine, after their father died, they thought Joseph was going to turn and get them for what they done to him, you know, when they sold him. And then they want to honor and beg, and they want to be a service then. All right, now that the Brennan fathers mixed and mingled with other people out in the world a lot and got the world attention, that he was a great mansion, you know, the greatest man, probably the only one, you know, that should receive. And you said, brother, you prayed for one thing, that brother, that you would get a double portion of what brother he had. Mm-hmm. And so, and now you get a double, that's just like going back to him, you see. Like Joseph had a double portion of what his daddy had. You see, well, Joseph was greater than his daddy, you know, where his daddy blessed him, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, well, see, then now the family is here. They know the world don't have anything. And they know he's been dead about 10 years and it's nothing. Those people know deep down in their heart that God is and somebody. They just don't want to be the one to admit it and follow that person.
Mm-hmm.
But they go soon break. They don't want to break down to you. This thing is here. And be numb with it, you see. But I'm not the devil trying to take my thought away.
No, you're right, though, Bob. The Spirit of God, that's the revelation speaking through you. That's
but,
God.
See, but Joseph turned him away. He going, like I say, gonna reveal himself to him, and then in a time of the famine, he fed him what a grain was. See, and in the time of the famine of the world, they're gonna realize it is slowly but surely. You know, the world can't see this right now, in which they don't need to see it because, like I said, be all kind of shootings and people jealous. You're not jealous. The people saw among the Christian mm-hmm. people. Surely they'd be jealous among the worldly people, and they would come in here and just try to tear things down, you know, without no kind of control or nothing.
They try to take it away from you brethren like mm-hmm. that wild horses I saw.
That's right. It's just that the work itself, slowly but surely, that's why I stopped, you know, talking so much. Just try to listen and see what's going on and see what things was taking place. And I learned that it's just, if you read the Bible, man, study the Bible real plain. I don't see how the Brennan father could be so stupid as to say a man is not God and God don't deal with a man. Those people don't really understand the scriptures in the Bible, you see. The Bible tells you what's going to happen, you see.
They don't understand.
And here we are, and I don't even read the Bible like I ought to, but I still see what's going on, you know, that I ain't going to fight this, you know. Because there's no...
Here's the thing, though, Bob. Now, see, like that, the brethren rejected it. Like you said, the 12 tribes, Israel, the 12 brothers. Now, but like tonight, the Lord impressed me that Joseph was to sing, but that him and Denny was to sing together. Because, see, Denny's been a rejected stone. Now, he cried here a while back, tears in his eyes, crying. Said, I ain't never fit with nothing, nobody, no more. But now, the other night, when he got that experience, he fit, didn't he? He found the place he fit. And, see, him having to do with that in Joseph, and his brother, them tonight singing has to do with what you said, Joseph coming up from the gov, coming out of the dungeon. Because that's what they did to this message. They sold it into bondage. That's what they did. They rejected it, sold it into bondage, and even Brother Brown made a statement that one thing he would not do, according to what I understood, he made a statement, said, I won't go to the... I told you that this morning.
Yes. People told me about that over in Athens. But he got a big pull on those people over there.
What was the statement he made?
See, it's his, I guess his girl's his niece or something. But she works at the International Harvest over here in the office, tractor place. And she was telling me about how he had lost weight and everything, and how he fasted.
Oh, he really has lost
weight. How he fasted and prayed. And that she's also told about how he lost all those churches and things, you know. And then I told her, I said, well, you see how he lose? I said, ever since, you know, he was all those churches and things until they made the statement he did against you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went down. And I told her, you calling me Pike Ike and all this stuff, and every time I do something, well, what you going to do? You got to get excuse from Pike to do this? I said, no, let me tell you something. I said, you know, black people are some stubborn folks, you know that. You don't hear tell them to jump off no bridges and out these stores like y'all. And I said, I was a stupid man all my life. And I know when a man is leading me to God, and I know it is, and can't nobody turn me away from it. That's all it is. And that's what all these other brothers realize, too. I said, I came to Georgia. I didn't have but 7 cents in my pocket. And I said, this man over here offered me more than any black person would offer me. And if you're going to talk about prejudice, I'm trying to get something, what could you get my money? Because I didn't have no money. If he was trying to use me for something, yet still, he sure was blessing me real good, because he the one told me where I should go to the farm over here. I would be blessed by getting cow and all that stuff. It's another type of Joseph, you remember telling that?
Yeah, that's true.
And I got all these three vehicles and things, and ain't one for nothing. And
all the baptizing is done over there.
I said, he's not taking nothing. You know, they try to ridicule this place and all, so talking about the lights. They came over and visited, and I told her that she said, we'll take a place in Las Vegas at one of these gambling casinos, something like Liberace's house, to compare with that church that is decorated as it is. So you can't get your mind on the preaching and service for the people, the lights and things. I said, okay. I said, what's wrong with all those lights? She said, Daddy, this ain't necessary. Okay. I said, what about the 12 lights that's on Aaron's breastplate? I said, ain't nothing about no lights in the Bible. I said, what about those lights and things that will come across his breastplate? What about the rainbow in the sky? How come people don't, they murmur about it? I said, do they ever hear him complaining about the rainbow in the sky? All the colors in it?
If they think I got color here, you wait till they look at the throne of God.
And Homer Brown's wife wanted to come over to see the place. And so she said, Homer said, well, no, They said, that'd be the last place on the earth if I go to George Pike's.
It looks like it will be. It looks like that. It's like I said, down yonder, the strange thing about it is he said the last thing. But while we were standing down there, Brother Bonnie turned right around to Homer, you know, and said to Sister Betty and him, said, I'll tell you what, said, me and Homer's got to get together and come to that tabernacle again. Homer didn't say nothing.
One thing about it, if he comes here, it'll be the last place on earth, because when people come here, they go one way or the other.
That's right.
That change coming in.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I know that's true. See, I led Homer to the Brother Branham message. Led Brother Green to it, Brother Henry to it.
Well, you know, when after Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, they went back and got Jacob.
Yeah, they brought Jacob in. That is Israel coming in. That is true. That's why I said that these brethren here have the power. They have the power as the Spirit to do it.
See, while there was a famine, I got to think, while there was a famine and a drought throughout the land, it's just like Brother Red said up here when he's up here. He said, I ain't never seen homeless people like this in my life. He said, you just can't find nobody no more. He said, that's holding. He said, there ain't nobody with nothing anymore. While there was a famine all around the land, still in down there when Israel came in.
Down yonder, I watched out there in the broad daylight. Here come those women, you know, and they were so holy, like, you know, they had their dresses down along here. You could tell they really felt holy, like. Nothing went on for a little while, and then all of a sudden I look, here come my wife, my two little daughters, Dale in the dresses way down here. And they looked, you know, and those men looked, and you could tell that condemnation was striking. You know, Brother Branham's beyond the veil, and you could tell that it was really doing something to them.
Against the own message that they think they're supposed to be holding up.
Yeah, it really does something to them.
This is that.
Well, it's
the body down there. They show the body, the spirit without the body.
It's the second dimension. See, there's the mini, the maxi, and the midi. They're in the midi realm, second realm. Brother Branham spoke of the third pole. This is the completeness of the message. Mini skirt, like charismatic thing, you know. Yeah, it is. That's right.
You spoke about before you left. You spoke about Cleveland.
We went back 24 years to the Cleveland meeting, and then we brought it up today.
Yeah.
In the meeting down there, I was thinking the other day, I was praying and talking to the Lord about something. The Lord kind of dealt me about something that when you wasn't praying and asking Brother Branham to speak to you, you commanded Brother Branham to speak to you. Right?
Yeah, and
turned and spoke to you.
Uh-huh.
And then the Lord dealt with me about Joshua commanding the sun to stand still. And then the Lord began to deal with me about the third pull being where the brethren. And then I remember a while ago about the Sister Hedy Wright thing about recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And how that it's not, you know, it's not praying and talking to God, though it is, but yet it's commanding. Jesus said one time, he said, command thou me to works of my hands. And I was thinking about that, you know, about the third pull being commanding God and commanding the works of his hands, not in the sense of praying and move, but I mean, just speaking the word in that sense, in the way that you did it there, you know, and commanding William Branham to speak to you like he did, and Brother Branham tried and spoke because it was a command from the Lord.
Well, see, here's the thing. We make a contest, who's the greater, Moses or Joshua? Whereas the commandment was given to Joshua to see that you say exactly, do exactly as I've commanded my servant, Moses. Now, they could say, it's got to be within the message. Boy, they pinned that down, that meeting. It's got to be within this framework. It's got to be within here. It's got to be in here. Well, see, this message couldn't be any other way if it's the carryover, because Joshua, that's what he did. But now, Joshua did not carry over Moses' mistake. When God said, oh, there, you know, glorify me. And the Bible said that Moses did not glorify God before the people to this extent. Moses said, concerning it, shall I bring forth water, you bunch of rebels? He said, must I bring you forth water? Well, that displeased God, because he should have said, God will give you water from the rock. And that's what caused him to be smitten. What I'm saying in essence is, you say, who's the greatest, Moses or Joshua? You go back, who's the greatest, Jesus or Christ? So see, you can't judge it like that. The same Jesus that lay down was the same one that got up. It was Moses that got up.
That's right.
I mean, somebody said, but he was buried. But can you prove it? They ain't found his body, his graveless day. So now who was Joshua? I mean, who was Christ? If Christ wasn't the same one that laid down, then Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. I mean, we just got to admit that. So if it isn't the same, then what's going on? And the thing is, the way I look at it, it isn't a matter of which is the greatest. The thing is, did Moses take them over the Jordan? I mean, what's this all about? Is it making the sun stand still? Is that the proof of the greatness? Or Moses making the earth open up and swallow up? Or the fire on the mountain? Or is the thing that we're working for going over death, conquering death, going over the Jordan? Who was in leadership when they conquered the Jordan? Went over death. That's the thing that matters. See, that's the thing the whole message is for, the whole world is after. Everything, God's purpose was to get them over death. So to me, that settles the dispute on that part of it as to what you, you know, it's not a matter of being great, because, like I've often said, because God has done all these things, it don't make him any greater. He was the same great God. That's right. That's the way to look at it. That's the way to look at it. See, all we're doing, we're just a bunch of brethren, and what are we doing? We all go to the woods, say, what are you doing? We're all looking for the rabbit. All of us got our guns. Ain't got nothing to do with us. We're just looking for the rabbit. So then we're all out here, what are we looking for? We're just looking for Christ. It don't make no difference. Wherever he's at, the rabbit jumps out of the bushes, here we all go. If Christ comes forth out of the veil, here we all go. You know, it's like a brother said one day, and he was real smart in some things. Some days he kind of got off trail, but this one thing he was really smart in. He said, well, said they can say what they want to, do what they want to about it. Said, but it's like this. He said, someday, He said, all them ducks is out on the pond, but someday one of them going to rise up and honk his horn, and the other's going to follow. And so he said, that'll take care of it, you know. So
that's the same way, Lord God, just like you said, that we're all the same, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we might all say peace, but when he that's got it speaks, then we'll all be quiet.
Yeah, see, we're all following Jesus wherever he's at. As they talked about him on the way to Emmaus, he appeared in their midst. That's what they all wanted anyway. So that's all we're after, is the Lord Jesus. We're after the Christ. I mean, whether he's here, there, anywhere, anytime, any day. That's what we're after. Like David said, it's not man anyway. It's Christ, and we're all falling hard on his heels. Like that vision I had where he picked up his foot, those deep and breathing tracks in the sand. I put my foot right down. He pick his up, and I put my foot right down.
You know what? I'd imagine we're gonna really have a good camp meeting this coming year.
I believe we are. I really need to go, brethren. What time is it getting to be? I know it's late.